welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 171.
Hey, got your lucky charms.
Ah, happy St. Patrick's Day, bitches.
Yeah. Top of the morning to you.
So we're going to do this first now because it's St. Patrick's Day. So let's go around the table in this bar. What do you guys got?
Ooh, it's a Abita. It's a light Abita. It's the Serena and Chris gave this to me for my birthday. It's a light Abita commemorating the saving of the shoreline for Louisiana from the oil spill last year. So it's pretty cool. Yeah.
All right.
Cool. That'll work. I'm going with the traditional staple, Guinness.
Guinness.
Yeah.
I have a Guinness created product called Smittix Irish Ale. It is a yummy brew, and I actually stopped at the store on the way home specifically to pick up this brew.
Yeah, I wasn't going to, and then I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to pick up some. May as well.
Absolutely. Well, how you guys doing, man?
Great.
Travis, what is up, buddy? You are done with fast food.
Tell me how that feels. It feels great.
Past food.
Oh, love it.
Man,
nice,
Jeff, you are
quips.
On top of the shitty jokes today, aren't you?
Oh, man, hell yeah.
It's what I like to call the hobocalypse. I'm just living it hobo style, except I have a house that I live in every night. But it's
Megan
been
getting
great.
Mad at you yet?
No, get off the couch. I've been I've been super productive around the house. I help in keeping the house clean, watching the dogs. But, you know, I made a joke last week that I'm going to do nothing. Well, I've been actually getting a lot of stuff done. And I'm like, okay, my man cave has been kind of, you know, untouched for a while. So I needed to go ahead and, you know, spruce it back up. So I had like tons and tons of New Orleans Saints stuff that a year after they won the Super Bowl, you know, I had that I finally got it framed. Like, so you would have thought I would. Would have gotten that done like what a week after the Super Bowl was done. No, it took me about a year and 2 months to get it all shaped up.
Yeah, after the season where they got busted in the first round.
Yeah, pretty much. So I got all those framed up and everything. So to give you guys a perspective, like where my desk is on to the left wall where that was completely blank, it's all filled with like Saint stuff. So I got that. I got my Ezio, that was that huge GameStop placard, that life size one.
That's cool.
I took Ezio off of it and put it on the wall right in front of the desk. So I got a lot of stuff changing. My Protoman autographed poster, got that framed up. I mean, I got my keytar hung up next to the Protoman poster. I love it.
that's ironic. That's perfect placement for that.
I love it. So a lot of stuff I've been getting. I got my hair did yesterday, so I'm all cleaned up for the MGCs.
Got your hair did?
Yeah, I got my hair did.
You know how I get my hair did? I grab the clippers and I just cut it off.
Okay, yeah, I spend like $30 getting my hair cut.
So and then every day you spend 30 minutes fixing it.
And you wonder why you're the Indus Diva.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I'm having a great time. Like this, like Sonic really, really wore me down. Like that fast food industry will just chew you up and spit you right back out.
I agree, man. I did it too.
And I love what I did. I loved managing people. I loved doing a schedule and inventory and being the person in charge. Sometimes it's a pain in the ass, you know, like some people can't work and they have to call out and you have to fill in that shit. Then it sucks sometimes. And that's every job where you're a manager. But I gotta say,
or you can just not call someone in and make your labor look really good.
Right, exactly. But for me to actually take 2 weeks off and just wash that Sonic stink off me and to be able to sit back and kind of,
how many
relax.
Showers did that take, washing the Sonic stink off?
Believe it or not,
you're
just
still working
one.
On it, right?
Actually, no, I have not taken a shower since then. I'm actually waiting.
I was wondering what that smell was. Man.
It is stinky. But, yeah, just kind of the week one of this two-week process is going to be kind of like my wind down, being lazy, getting some productive stuff done. But week two is going to be the preparation week. I got to get my mindset, got to get my game right for GameStop. I got to get ready for MGC, got to get packed up for that. We got a lot of stuff going on there.
Hey, check it out.
Yeah, I was going to say, you totally just mentioned GameStop. So I was going to say, is that public now?
Yeah, it's pretty much public.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Cool.
Hey, everyone. Travis works for GameStop. Send all your hate mail to travis@interactivedistractions.com.
And your threats. You have pre-order issues, feel free to email at travis.
Hey, you can send a hate mail to me and also Jeff with a J, Better Tomorrow. because he's been a GameStop manager for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
So I got a new buddy I'm going to be talking to. We're going to share some stories once I get kind of in the mix of things.
Now we have we have two directions to go with our GameStop story feature.
Yeah,
whenever
we
had to do that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because we still need to do that.
Yeah.
We'll do it eventually.
Yeah, I might not be able to do that episode.
Sure you will. You can talk about retarded customers.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. I'm sure anybody can do that, though. Because, I mean, every job has retarded, stupid-ass customers, though.
No.
I talked about the guy that wanted to fight me because I wouldn't take his check. That shit you not, dude. I didn't take his check. He asked me to step outside.
Wow.
There was more to it than that, but
yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was the basic gist of it.
Well, Jeff, why don't you step outside and tell me what's up with you?
Not much, man. It's getting warmer here finally, and it being St. Patty's Day today.
So it's what, 40 degrees now?
40 degrees, yeah, exactly. It's probably somewhere around there. I don't know what it would be in American temperature, but basically walking home today was kind of interesting because every bar is rammed, of course.
Of course.
And, of course, all the girls are like, oh, my God, it's warm. So they busted all the skirts early. So,
no problems with that, right?
No, hell no. Of course not. I mean, if you want to look at that kind of stuff when you're in a relationship.
Which you do.
Yeah. But, well, yeah, okay, whatever. You're allowed to look, right? As long as you don't order anything.
Yeah. Look, but don't touch.
Exactly.
It's like a menu, pretty much.
Hey, most of the time, I'm pointing them out to Crystal. Hey, check her out. She's pretty hot.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah.
Actually, sometimes Tony's picking up to point them out to me. So
yeah, she does that. Crystal does that too.
But not much is happening this last past week. I'm trying to remember what I did on the weekend, but not too much from what I recall, which is probably a really good thing or a really bad thing.
It's probably good.
I remember being up to 5:00 a.m. on Saturday to Sunday playing Marvel vs. Capcom. But yeah, there was vodka to be had, or that was had. And I think it was a good time. I think I probably rage messaged a few people, but whatever. It happens.
Yeah, thanks
for
that.
I appreciate it. You think it was a good time. I think it was a good time. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure we had a good time.
I do remember times getting
I woke
frustrated.
Up and I didn't remember anything, so it must have been fun.
No, I just remember I was having a lot of fun until it was Nashed. I was just playing randoms because there wasn't too many people online playing video games, or at least not Marvel on Saturday night. So I was just playing randoms on 360 and I was having a good time. Then all of a sudden it hit a certain time. And it was friggin' national, everyone picked Sentinel time, and everyone had Sentinel. It was just frustrating as shit.
Ugh, fuck that shit.
You gotta stop playing that game, dude.
I know, right?
No,
I'm gonna be real, dude. I'm gonna
play
be
it
real.
With friends, man.
Stop
play
playing,
online,
stop playing that game.
Nah, it's good shit.
No.
But it is fun. I mean, the game is really fun.
Oh, yeah. You know? We'll talk about it more when it goes to distractions, but
yeah.
You
just gotta play it with friends.
That's
all. Cool.
That's all.
Chris.
Not much over here, man. Football season started up for me again, so that's good. That's all I got.
Oh, March Madness, yo. That started today, too.
Oh, yeah, March Madness started today.
I love baseball. Oh, so good.
So in the NFL offseason, I usually distract myself with arena football because it is just fun as shit to watch. And me and a buddy of mine get season tickets, and it's really fun. And we went on Sunday. It was opening night, and our team, the Georgia Force, they won 53-47. It was good stuff. So.
Cool. Let me know if that dude doesn't want to go to the New Orleans Voodoo game because I will go with you.
Dude, I could probably get you a ticket next to us. We're third row in the end zone.
Yeah, I saw
the
your picture. It's
awesome.
Really cool seats. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, if you want to go to the Voodoo game, I'll look for a ticket for you. $20, man.
There are no sidelines on pretty much. So pretty much you're in the back of the end zone, but you're three seats away. So if that guy farts, you can smell what he had for breakfast.
Pretty
right?
much, yeah.
Right.
And Jeff, I don't know how much you know about football or arena football, but there's
I've
no
been to one game.
There's no real out of bounds either. You can just get thrown over the wall.
Yeah.
It's like you can take the ball home, but the players you have to get back. So
didn't EA Sports do an arena football game one year?
They did. Actually, they did two of them.
I remember
they did two of them. They did 2 years. It was 2006 and 2007 or something. I don't remember.
The Georgia Force were on the cover of one year.
Were they?
I think it was the first year.
I don't
want to say.
The Force went to the Arena Bowl one year, so it's very possible. They lost, but they still went to the Arena Bowl.
Womp, 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 womp.
Lost to Colorado. John Elway's team. Cool. All right, but that's all I got, man. So let's talk about games. I am excited. I want to talk about some games today. Hey, Travis, why don't you go first this week?
All right, the first thing I'm going to talk about is Dragon Age. I want to get right back into this where I left off last week. Dragon Age Origins, the first game, I played this bastard. I've restarted it countless times, and I would get to the same point and stop. And I'm constantly restarting. I probably played about 20 hours of that game, but just never got past a certain point. I beat Dragon Age 2 in 4 days.
Why is that? Is it because you just didn't like the characters you were getting, or what?
I'm gonna tell you why. What Mass Effect really got me into the character, like, you know, doing the dialogue system in Mass Effect, that really picked me up. So the dialogue system going from Origins to more Mass Effect-y, mm-hmm. like in Dragon Age 2, that helped a lot. Streamlining the battle system to where it's more, like, it's more suitable for me to play, where I can sit there and I can just step back and mash and mash.
The fact that your character actually has a voice and personality
and that helps too. Like I said, more Mass Effect-y. That does help out a lot for me. But I'm going to go as far as saying that I beat this game in 4 days, start to finish, got done with it. I enjoyed myself. Thankfully, the story was competent enough. And I'm reading a lot of reviews saying that the story wasn't as good as the first one, and that was kind of where it left off. I think that was actually beneficial for me, since I have not played through the majority of the quote-unquote good parts of Dragon Age Origins, to where I just went into Dragon Age 2 pretty much fresh. And I really enjoyed the story. Yeah, it's low-key. Like, the whole world's not in danger. It's just kind of like... it's a situational type of thing. Like, if something went wrong, if the bad guys won, just this little town would be fucked up. So they keep it kind of like, keep it nice and tight within the Dragon Age mythology. So the story had me going, and the story what got me from beginning to end all the way through it. Because as much as I can say that the combat system is more streamlined for my personal liking, I gotta say, it got super repetitive and super boring after a long, long while. Like, the fights just started getting, oh, I'm fighting these shades again. Oh, I'm fighting corpses again. I'm fighting blood mages everywhere I go. I didn't realize there were so many blood mages, and I'm fighting them again and again and again.
It's not even that hard, is it? I heard that
it's not hard at all. I'm playing on the normal difficulty. It was not hard at all.
You're playing on a PS3, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I'm gonna go as far as saying that thank God the story was. For me, it was a very exceptional story, because I'm sorry to people who love this game, but Dragon Age 2 is not a very good video game. I'm just going to say it. It's not a very good video game. There are so many flaws, so many buggy, tons of bugs, like game-breaking bug. The very, very last fight, literally getting a boss to 25% health and your game freezing to where you have to do a hard reboot is unacceptable. Ooh. It's bullshit, all right?
It's fast anyway for... a BioWare's true sequel to come out like that. Like that.
Yeah. They really spit this out pretty quick. They really
did. You guys said that before, but they really didn't, because Dragon Age Origins came out 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was 2009.
Well, this bitch needed more time to cook.
Yeah, I guess.
It really did.
It was end of 2009, though, right?
I don't remember, completely honest with you. I just know it was a 2009 game. And then 2010, they released the expansion, which was
Awakening.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you look at a game that... how long did Mass Effect 2 take to come out? Was that a two-year process?
It was 2 years, yeah.
Okay, that game has pretty much, like, for the most part, no major plot holes. That game's story is seamless, all right? It's pretty much seamless. Most of the stories you get in Mass Effect 2 are just like, boom, 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 nice. Everything makes sense. Everything has a certain continuity about it. Dragon Age 2 doesn't. Like, for me, my character, I wanted to try to make the most badass hawk that I can make for this game, and I had him as a mage, so I'm like, I am totally doing blood magic. And this isn't a spoiler. The mages are persecuted. The church in the world, they're the ones that kind of persecute the mages, and they try to capture them, and if they're deemed dangerous, they make them tranquil and stuff like that. We all learned that from the first Dragon Age, and you know there's a lot of tension. Well, that tension still is happening here, and that's kind of the focus of the game, Templar versus the mages. And the big thing is, okay, these mages, if we don't put them in check, the mages become blood mages and evil, and they become corrupted by demons. And the whole time, every single mage as a blood mage is instantly persecuted. But yet, my character is a blood mage, and no one says dick. No one says a thing. And I'm sorry, but BioWare, this is something. Look at their rap sheet. They're pretty good at, like, loose ends and specifics like this. They're really, really good at catching stuff like that. And they don't do that whatsoever. in this game whatsoever.
Did they even comment on it or anything?
None.
I know, like, in the first one, Morgan, you'd have people commenting towards her all the time. Like,
zero.
Really?
One of the main characters also dabbles in blood magic, and they comment on her constantly. But my character uses blood magic on the reg, and no one says shit, dude. I'm like, I was so disappointed because, like, the story that no medieval story does, like, persecution and racism and stuff like that as well as Dragon Age. And I think it was a missed opportunity because when I saw that I could do blood magic, I'm like, oh, this game is going to get so, so deep because if I become a blood mage, how are people going to view me? And it changed nothing. And I was supremely disappointed. It was such a missed opportunity by BioWare, and it kind of killed the game for me.
I hear you.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you want really endorsement? Yeah, I was gonna say because I'm really on the fence about this one now because I wasn't gonna get it, but so many people have been telling me stuff, and apparently the PC version has a high res texture pack that was just released that works with DirectX 11. It's supposed to make the game like a lot better looking on PC. At least that's what I heard. I'm not sure. I just heard on actually. I think Giant Bomb were talking about it, and they didn't actually say whether it was Dragon Age 2 or 1. I'm guessing it's 2, but I don't know. Cause I'm thinking of getting it, but after that, I don't know. Who knows?
Like, I mean, I personally don't think it's a very good game because there's so many problems that I found with it. I thought that this game maybe needed, if anything, just like 3 months of added content to kind of like get these specifics ironed out, and then maybe like another 3 months of just like straight debugging. Mm-hmm. And this game would be so awesome. Like, it would like blow my mind. But it's just not there. Like, there's so much missing. Like, I didn't hate the game. I did enjoy the time that I spent. I mean, I burned through it in 4 hours. Yeah, I don't burn through an RPG in 4 days. I don't burn through an RPG in 4 days if I'm having a bad time.
Yeah, of course.
I had a good time playing an okay game. Yeah. So.
All right. But,
and other than that, I picked up Castle Crashers for $7.50. You cannot beat that.
Yeah, PSN Plus deal.
That game is so fun, and it's probably the most gaming that Megan and I have done, like,
together
in a long time. And it's
dude, I need to double dip on that fucking game, man. I really do.
Dude, I will play that shit so much with you, because the amount of, like, Behemoth did such a good job on this game, because I've never played this game before. I just played it for the first time this week. And
oh, wow.
I gotta say, man, like, the amount of collectibles in that game blew my mind.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, there's so much stuff. Like, I knew there were a lot of characters, because at the end of Indusfest, we had a little fight club night, and Castle Crashers was one of the games that we played. And, like, aside from that, I hadn't played anything, but I remember Jason scrolling through the characters, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, how many characters are in this game?
He's
like,
and I have more unlocked than Jason does.
Really?
Online. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot, and it's like 60-something weapons.
Yeah.
So yeah.
There's, like, the regular mode, and then there's, like, this hard mode that you can go into. And
I started insane mode. Yeah, I started.
Insane mode is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, really. Yeah.
There is a trick to level up really fast, though. It's kind of cheap, and I could tell
you. Oh, is it the boomerang?
Yeah,
the
boomerang
desert level? Yeah, yeah.
Most
I haven't done it, but I know about it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that game is fantastic, man. Aesthetically, that game has so much heart. And every time I'm playing it, it puts a smile on my face.
Dude, you can't not like that game. I know. I mean, there are people that don't like it. I mean, there are. I know that they are.
Well, yeah, if you don't like that type of game, you're not going to like it. Yeah.
I know. I actually personally know a couple people that don't. And I'm like, really? How could you not? It's so much fun.
I got a question.
It's like, aesthetically, it's so, like, fun to look at, you know?
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it.
I love it. I'm having a ball. If you double dip, I will play with you so much, dude. Don't worry.
Nice, dude.
Yeah. If
it's still $7.50, dude, I'll double dip.
Yeah, it's $7.50 until next Tuesday.
Nice. Yeah, I'll double it for that. That sounds
cool.
Good.
Other than that, I got U-Star 2, but I don't want to talk about it until we play it on the indie stream in a couple of weeks. So we will we'll play that. But U-Star is pretty. Like, it's not a good game whatsoever, but it is so fun when you have a lot of people.
It's not a good game whatsoever.
How long does it take? I saw they had this up at GameStop by my work, the one there. They had a clip that they did and saved. It was really funny. Jerry Maguire scene or something. I can't remember what the scene was, but...
Well,
was really funny. And how long does it take to render that, though? Like, when you actually get the person up there to record it, how long does it go from that to actually seeing it
It's instantaneous. Like, the second record it, and it'll stop, and it'll pop right back up, and it'll play the scene and everything. Some scenes work, like if it's a scene with one person talking and the other person talking and no one's moving, it works out fine. But, like, there's a scene from Apollo 13. It's the one where – it's the famous scene Houston, we have a problem. But the part where Tom Hanks is in, like, shit's flying everywhere and stuff's happening, like, and it's just not working. Or the scene in Superman where you're Superman and you have to stop the airplane from hitting the baseball field and everything. Like, that doesn't work because you have to kind of, like, put your hands up to stop the airplane and it looks terrible. But the scenes where the scenes where you're just shows your face and it cuts to another person and it shows your face again and it cuts to that stuff's pretty cool. Scenes where you're like in a car with somebody is pretty fun. Like you're kind of behind the dashboard and, or like if you're behind a countertop, like the countertop's in front of you and then the background's behind you. They do a really, really good job with that.
Is it like a game, like a game show type game or is it just like,
no, it's more like a karaoke game. It's more laid out like karaoke. It literally is a karaoke game, but you're in it and you're, you know, acting and posing as well. There's something they added in there that I really, really enjoy. And it's called, it's like scenes pretty much. And what happens is like, there's tons of these, like 40, 50 of them. I may be wrong. 40 or 50 of these babies. And it's just like random scenes. Like one of them, it's just, the president of the United States podium. And you're standing behind a podium and you can just ad lib and talk the way you want. And then you can save and record this and upload it to Facebook or YouTube and stuff like that. It's pretty novel and it's a great idea. I just don't think the tech's there, yet for it. But the thing is, I'm playing on a PS3, so I'm using the PSI. I'm curious whether or not that quality kind of improves when you're using like Kinect because it is
a
better
feeling. It doesn't because most of the reviews I've seen for U-Star actually rate the PS3 version better than the 360 version.
Really?
Yeah, and they say that the main reason is that the functionality of the game is pretty much the same, but the video quality is better on the PS3.
Really?
Yeah.
I could see that because it's only capturing a 2D image, so it doesn't really matter which one.
Right.
Yeah. But it's pretty neat, the stuff they have, and they're opening up for DLC, and they announced DLC this week. 3 Boondock Saints scenes are coming to U-Star, so I know I'm buying those for sure. So, but the game's $50. It's less than your normal new release. So, I mean, it's fun, especially if you have a lot of people that come over and play games a lot. You almost have to buy it. But if like you only play games by yourself, I wouldn't touch it. I really wouldn't. So, but that's pretty much it for my week.
Cool, Jeff. What do you got, buddy?
Lots of Marvel vs. Capcom 3. That's been like the main staple. And I'm liking it a lot more now. It's like more and more. Just avoid the, like you said, Chris, play with your friends. The best thing to do. But even playing online is good. Like I've actually had a lot of good experiences where people will send positive messages and I'll do the same thing and stuff like that. And as long as people aren't abusing shit. And like I said, but it was that Saturday night where literally after it hit, I think it was like what 1 a.m. or 2 a.m., everyone just started picking like, it would be like Sentinel, Hulk, and someone else, and they'd just like build up 5-meter X-Factor and done. Or they'd pick characters that are really good at zoning. And, I had one guy. He picked Damasu. I don't know. The guy who got the Flaming Skull. I always forget his name. Him, Dr. Doom, and I think it was Magneto. And he didn't really do anything, like any combos-wise. He just basically sat in the corner and basically shot at his projectiles. So I had a hard time getting in. Eventually I got in and killed off two of his characters. He killed off one of mine. But then his time was running out. So I was like, okay, well, this guy's just sitting there spamming the same things over and over, and it's not my, like, I should know how to get in on that, but I don't. But he was just cheesing me. So I'm like, okay, well, I have more health than him. So there's like 10 seconds left. I'm going to X-Factor and just turtle. Because when you have X-Factor, you don't take chip damage.
You don't take chip damage, yeah.
Yeah, so I just sat there, and he didn't realize until about 3 seconds left that I was just going to wait it out. And so I ended up winning, and then he sends me a message. He's like, you're so fucking cheap, try doing something. And I'm just like, okay, dude. Like, you're sitting there.
That's when you just send back a message and say, like, sit in the corner and throw fireballs the entire time?
Yeah. I was just like, I just wrote back LOL. So I didn't, at that point, I didn't care because I was so sick of, like the putting up with Sentinel crap, but whatever. And X-Factor, I think, is the biggest thing. That's my new biggest issue with the game now is X-Factor. I just wish they could just take it out.
It really seems like X-Factor is. I mean, I know that they're trying to do something like that they did with like Ultras and Super and Street Fighter 4. Give the losing player an opportunity to do something and get back into it. But X-Factor is just so overpowered.
They said it was a tie turner. That's literally what it is. You can go from dominating a match to just getting dominated if the person uses the meter properly, and it's not that hard to It's not that hard to exploit X Factor with meter with the right characters.
Yeah, I agree.
And I wish there was at least an option to have like turn X Factor off or something like that. But I mean, it is fun. I basically came to the exception, I think, this past week that it is what it is. The game is not super balanced, and just have fun with it. Like, whatever. If you get cheesed out, no big deal. Just fight the next guy and then get even more pissed at him. But yeah.
That sounds like an awesome time you're having.
No, it is. Like, no, I said, majority, like 80% of the time, I'm having an awesome time with the game. Like, really good. Playing with, like I'm always playing with, like, Aces or whatever, like, Vossi's on there, and of course, Anatech and those guys. And always a good time. We play for, like, long time, fun times. Even randoms are fun. Like, I've had more good experiences fighting randoms online than bad ones so far. So,
cool.
It's good. It's fun.
All right.
Yeah, played some... What else did I play? Oh, God. I played Battle Los Angeles. Did any of you guys download that trial?
The game?
No.
Yeah.
Isn't that a movie tie-in?
Yeah. It's an Xbox Live Arcade game, and it's tied into the movie.
Dog, why would you do that to yourself, man?
Like, I'm serious.
Are you a glutton for punishment?
I was like, you know what? I'm just going to download some trials and see what's up. And the thing is with this game, I'll say this right now. Okay, the controls are absolute garbage. Okay, it's not that the controls are garbage. There's like input lag with everything you do, which just makes it's just not tight. It's very extremely loose, very delayed. That makes it crap. But in terms of like graphics and presentation, and it's actually not that bad. Like if this were to come out when Xbox Live Arcade was first kind of introduced, people would have been blown away by it. Like, this is freaking crazy and awesome. But yeah, it is something. It's controls like poop. Doesn't look that great, but for Xbox Live Arcade, it looks pretty good. And I don't know. You might want to try it out just to see how kind of...
Yeah, that's not going to happen, dude. I'm going to have to ask you to seriously reconsider your decisions you make in life. Because that's... Oh.
Why not? It's there. I was like, yeah, I'll download the trial. It only takes like 5 minutes. But yeah, it was pretty god-awful. And then, of course, I downloaded the trial for Torchlight. And then played that a bit. And the next day, I was like, I'm playing a bit more.
And then you bought Torchlight.
I finally decided to buy it. And I got almost as far as I did in the PC version last night in one night than I did for owning Torchlight for how long? How long has that been out for?
I don't know. I'm with you though, man. I got it on 360, and you know, the first night I was already like twice as far as I was on the PC version.
Yeah,
and you know, it's not to say that the PC version's bad. It's just
no, not at all. I still think the PC version's better overall.
Yeah, I mean, from a gaming standpoint, from like an integrity standpoint of the quality of the game, yeah, sure, it's better on PC. But you know what? Pointing and shooting is a lot more interesting to me than just click, click, click.
And
you know,
that was my biggest worry, man, was controls, because no one has really been able to nail those controls, and they seem to like nail those controls on a pad.
Well, this is kind of what I associated it with. It's like when you play Torchlight on the PC, and you know, you feel like you're playing Diablo. You're clicking things that you want to attack, that kind of shit. This, when I played Torchlight on 360, this is the closest thing to a quality dungeon crawler that I have seen since Champions of Norrath. That is what it felt like to me. Yeah. It was a console based, you know, it's like those old console based, Baldur's Gates too, on Xbox and PS2.
The Dark Alliance games.
Yeah, exactly. And I have been waiting for a good one of those for God knows how long. And then Torchlight comes along and just surprises the shit out of me, because it went from, you know, this Diablo style game, and you know, I never realized how close they were together. You know, like the Diablo series and something like Champions of Norrath, until Torchlight came out with the same control scheme pretty much as you would have in a Champions of Norrath game or something like that. And it is so much, it just lends itself so much better to me. You know, I mean, that's the type of control scheme that I want to use in that type of game. I want to aim and attack. I don't want to click and you know, click on what I want to attack, and it just automatically happens. You know, I mean, sorry, go ahead.
So, I was going to say, my thing's not so much control. It's more like I just like sitting on my couch, laying down
and
my couch.
And that's another part of it.
It adds so much more to it. I don't get
that's
there.
Another part
after
of
a while,
it.
I'm not like, oh, I'm realizing I'm slouching. My back starts to hurt, or, you know, my ass is going numb or something. And it's this crappy chair. But it's, I don't know. I played it for, like, I played the trial for 2 days, and then I finally was like, okay, I'm going to buy it. And I actually thought about it for, like, so long. I'm like, am I really going to play this anymore? And I to tell you the truth, I can't say yes or no because this is yesterday. So, but I think I definitely will. I've been thinking about it like all day. Like, I want to play some more Torchlight.
Dude, I am on like seriously in on the PC version. I got to like literally floor two. You know, I did the first couple of missions, and that was it.
Floor two, or the second area?
The second floor of the dungeon.
Oh, wow, dude,
yeah.
You didn't do anything, basically.
I barely played it. I played, the first couple of missions, and that was it. I am on, floor 24 right now.
Oh, my
God. On the 360 version. I cannot stop playing this game.
You are definitely further than me.
Yeah. I would have never bought it. You know, I never would have thought about buying it. I mean, Runic just happened to win a code from Runic for the game.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And now I just can't stop fucking playing with it. It's like I want to play Torchlight right now. It's like, hey, we could be done with this podcast. I'm going to play Torchlight.
The weird thing is, it's like I haven't even used. I don't. What character are you using?
I'm actually using the chick.
That's who I'm using. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the ranged attacks that she's got. Man, they're fucking awesome.
They're great. And she's got I used her on the PC. I made her as a character in the trial version. Then when I decided to buy it, I got to basically end the trial, which I think it's basically the entire first area. Like, it's a pretty long trial.
Like the first four or five floors?
Yeah. You can get to a pretty decent level just playing through the trial. And when I did buy it, I didn't even continue that character. Because when I made that character, I was like, oh, I don't think I'm going to buy it. I'm just going to see what it's like. So I put in a stupid name, it's AAA or whatever, and didn't really care about the loot I was picking up. Didn't kind of spec out anything really. And then so I started all over again when I bought it, so then went right back up. I think I'm level 9 or 10 right now. So. Yeah. But
I don't remember what level I am. I think I'm level 17 or 18 or something like that.
That sounds about right for there. But, I mean, there are some issues with it, though. The menu system took a bit to get used to with the pad.
Yeah, I still have a lot of trouble with, things getting in the way of other things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like when you're searching through equipment that you've got and you're trying to determine whether or not it's better than something, and you have to hit left or right on the D-pad to pop it up on the other side. And, it's not.
Well, I just have that on all the time.
I do too. Basically. But, sometimes that gets in the way of other stuff.
Yeah.
It's just the menus are, I mean, they're done well for what they had to work with, but they're not nearly as elegant as they were on the PC version.
No, and they're a lot better than other games that have done some, they're way better than the two human menus or the Mass Effect 1 menus.
Yeah, Mass Effect 1 menus are bad too.
I know that they're getting knocked on, the menus, but they're not really that bad. Once you know where everything is and how to use it, it's like second nature.
And considering that they have to have, whenever you pull up a menu, it has to have both you and your pet's information there, on the same screen. I mean, they did a good job with that, I think. So,
and there are definitely frame rate hitches, but they're kind of, they happen. I would say that if you're in between, but they happen often, but they don't happen for long. It's usually when all of a sudden a big spell goes off, it'll kind of hiccup for about 2 seconds and then it goes back to normal. Regular.
Yeah. I started running into that a lot when I started getting down into the deeper levels, when there's a lot more stuff going on.
Exactly.
But, so it's the performance wise, it's definitely not as good as the PC version, but man, like you said, sitting on your couch playing this game,
dude, it's awesome.
And
I mean,
using a control pad, that's what it's all about for me right now.
Black Skimmer from VGEvo said he actually started up a thread, why isn't anyone talking about this on Xbox Live? And he's this is probably the best, 360 game to come out so far this year, and of course
I would agree with that.
Exclusive. And I was thinking, well, that can't be right. And I was thinking, wait a second. In terms of exclusives, it's definitely
the only.
Best or
I mean, what
right
else is
there? Exactly. Other than Xbox Live Arcade games.
The other Xbox Live Arcade games though were timed exclusives, and they're all coming out. So
no, there's
PSN,
still a bunch. So. Like if you go back to the beginning of the year, there's a bunch that were released this year that aren't on PSN.
Yeah, all right.
But they're just not on the same level as Torchlight or something like that. I don't think you can get Battlefield Los Angeles. Come on.
No. Thank you for not polluting the PSN store with that game.
But, I'm still mad at you about that. God damn,
dude! If you got $15 or you got 1,200 MS points,
awesome.
You can't go wrong with it. If you like Diablo and that kind of stuff, it's very, very, very good port.
If you like dungeon crawlers in general, this is the one. This is the best dungeon crawler I have played since the Champions of Norrath series.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the way to look at it.
For people who don't know, it's basically picture Diablo with a much cartoonier art style, more World of Warcrafty, I guess, but more.
And a pet that follows you around
pet,
and kills shit. and will actually take shit back to town and sell it for
yes,
you.
Yes, yes, that is like godsend. You go get a whole bunch of crap you can't carry anymore.
I can't carry
it
anymore.
Pet,
okay, bye-bye.
Send it off and it's...
That's not realistic at all.
I don't know, man. I train Kai. She goes and gets groceries for me. So.
Is it bad that I named the dog Nerisse?
No, I named my cat Kaizo.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, but yeah, other yeah, those are that's basically the that and Marvel's Capcom is what I've been playing, man. And I can't big up Torchlight enough. Like we did a lot on PC before, but now that it comes to console, for some reason I appreciate the game that much more.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Might make me a console snob or whatever, but hey, whatever.
I'll tell you what though, I'm actually gonna get right now. I'm working on getting a new netbook for my wife because the one that we've got the AC adapter doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It's like it won't stay plugged in. I have a buddy of mine that's selling his netbook because he got a new one for like $100 and I'm like, well, fuck, I'll take that. So, it's better than the one that I had for her before. So now I'm going to take her old netbook, open it up and try and fix it. And if I do, I'm going to bring it around and I'm going to have, like torchlight on it. The netbook settings and shit.
I want to
like
try
that.
A new character. I think I'm going to have like two characters going.
Yeah. I want to try the mage.
Fuck you for copying me.
Well, you know what? I have the fighter on my PC. So, yeah. I keep wanting to go back to that, but I can't bring myself to sit in front of my fucking PC and play a game.
Torchlight 2, I'm praying, I don't expect it to be a simultaneous release, but I hope they bring that to consoles as well.
I'll be honest with you, man, I think I just need to buckle down and make my new box that has HDMI out and just hook that shit up to my TV. Because that's the only way I'm ever going to play PC games if I do that.
Oh, there was one more thing I wanted to play. I only played very briefly, but it was Crysis 2 on PS3. They were playing it. They added it on the demo station at GameStop today. And I don't know if you've been reading any kind of like reviews or at least comments about the demo that's on PSN right now. It's obviously the multiplayer demo.
I keep hearing that the 360 version is better.
Yeah, but that's exactly what people are saying. But people are saying the PS3 version is like terrible. Like, the graphics is like doesn't look even close as good. And when I was playing it, Crysis, it did look good. Like, I didn't see, it didn't look as bad as that demo does. So I'm not sure if that demo is, like, older code. Like, if it was made the same time the first 360 demo was made, but they just didn't release it because they had some kind of deal with Microsoft to have it, like, timed exclusive for the demo. And then when it came time to release the PlayStation 3 version, they just released it anyway, even though it had problems. Because it seemed to run pretty well, and it still looked great. So don't take that as verbatim that it is awesome, but I would kind of take those comments with a grain of salt that the PS3 version is that much worse because I didn't see a problem with it. But then again, I only played it for about 10 minutes and it was a single player. And it was, I don't know, pretty awesome shit.
Okay, cool.
I liked it. More to come because I expect to pick up that game actually probably when I'm in Milwaukee. So
awesome. Yeah, good deal.
Milwaukee.
Chris,
all right. I'm not going to be too long. First thing I want to talk about is
Torchlight.
Torchlight. Let's talk about Torchlight some more. That's a great idea. No, first thing I'm going to talk about is Castlevania. We played some more yesterday. And
what did you play?
What's that?
What did you do?
Castlevania. Castlevania's Days.
There it is.
I just like when I say it. So it was me and Animated and Shadow Hato and Hennet Sim. And we just the four of us played probably four or five games and we got to chapter 6, which is the chapter where you fight Dracula, on hard, and we got our asses handed to us by Dracula every time. So that was a little, demoralizing. What I really wanted to talk about while talking about Castlevania is the fact that I got a new controller for my 360.
Oh, yes.
And I got one of the ones with the new D-pads. Yeah. So Amazon had a sale on the new 360 controllers last week. So $44 is $45 for the new silver controller with, you know, battery pack and that useless wire that goes to your 360.
Right.
Before going, is that deal still going on?
No, it's not. It's back up to $55, which is still $10 below retail.
Yes.
So, but So here's kind of the what I wanted to throw out there.
Real quick. I'm sorry. That retail, that controller is 65 bones.
It's the controller with the play and charge kit. Yes, is 65.
And a rechargeable battery.
Nope. Yeah. I'm sorry. Continue.
Yeah. So that's why when I saw it for 45, I was like, I'll give it a shot. You know, none of us had tried it yet. And I was like, I figured what the hell? I need another battery because those freaking nickel-based batteries are shit, and one of mine is going right now. So,
see, mine have been good so far.
I've gone through. I've had three of them. Two of them die on me, and one of them is about to die on me again.
Oh wow!
So yeah, nickel cadmium battery are bad news, man.
And how much are batteries by themselves?
They don't sell them by themselves anymore. They only sell them with the play and charge kit because Microsoft is a bunch of ripoffs. Yeah. Anyway, so the new controller. Okay, so I tried it out with – the first thing I did is I played Super Meat Boy. All right, so when I first got the controller, I played Super Meat Boy probably for about an hour. And, you know, I was like, it feels pretty good. You know, it's not bad at all. But, you know, I thought maybe it's because, you know, it's Super Meat Boy. I'm pretty much just only pressing left and right with it, and that's it. And, you know, it doesn't really have enough opportunity to screw up. So yesterday when we were playing Castlevania, I was like, all right, I'm going to make a point – to use the D-pad. And I've tried to use the D-pad in past occasions playing Castlevania, and I just stop because it sucks so bad. And so I played for, you know, we play for 2 hours every Wednesday. And I would leave my take my hands off my controller and pick it up again. And whenever I instinctively went back to the analog stick, because that's how I usually play it, I found myself moving my hand back to the D-pad because I wanted to. The D-pad actually fucking works.
Nice.
And it surprised the hell out of me. And, you know, it's got that whole transforming thing where it goes from the plus to the disc, and that really didn't make a difference. It felt pretty much the same to me either way.
Yeah.
But the important part is that the D-pad felt like it worked. Now, I would still never use this damn thing on a fighting game or anything like that.
Well, I'm down for the whole D-pads just suck for fighting games in general. Like, I don't even like the PS3 one. I think that's terrible for fighting games.
Yeah, the PS3 one is not very good either. But
unless you're bringing back the Saturn one.
Saturn pad or those fight pads.
Even the Genesis 6 button pad was fucking badass.
Yes, it was. The Street Fighter, the Street Fighter fight pads are pretty good too. So
yeah, that's
the new ones. But yeah,
they don't feel like D-pads though. They feel like...
It feels too wobbly on that one.
Yeah, exactly. And it's meant to be like that so you can get the motions, I guess, easier and whatnot.
But nothing beats the Saturn pad. That's just hands down. That was the best one there was.
Probably the best D-pad based controller ever made.
The biggest thing about it is that when I pressed right, I never accidentally ducked or never accidentally went down. and that is a big thing. So, you know, if you guys can find it for a good price, this controller does actually have a much better D-pad.
But I was going to buy one. I didn't realize, though, the price was so high retail. Because I remember you telling me about the deal. And I was like, oh, I went right away. I went on to Amazon. And they don't ship it to Canada.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck. So I went to Amazon CA. They didn't have the same deal. So I was like, oh, you know what? Now that I have it in my head, I need to have this controller. Because I need a new controller anyway. So I was going to go buy it. But there, like, again, it was like $64.99 or something like that. And I was like, fuck.
It's really too expensive.
Like, I can buy a new game for that. Why would I buy a controller?
Yeah, it's a retarded price. It's absolutely retarded.
Yeah, it hit me.
Price.
I'm like, fuck. That's why I just asked you now if the thing was still going on, because I'm going to be in the States next week. I could have got it delivered there.
Yeah. I tell you what, man, if I see it on sale again, I'll nab one for you and I'll bring it with me.
Yeah, between now and MGC, if you can, that'd be freaking awesome.
Yeah, I'll be on the lookout too.
Yeah, cool. It's definitely a huge step up. It really is, and they even like modified the way the analog sticks feel. So
yeah, they're a bit different. They don't have the dots on them, right? They have like a rim around them.
Yeah, there's like a rim around them, and it feels different. But it feels pretty good. So everything about the controller feels pretty much the same. But you know, the actual feeling of the sticks and the D-pad itself are a little different. And I would say that it is a much, much improved controller over the original.
Yeah, they should just discontinue the other ones and just
sell them. I fucking agree. And that's what they're going to do eventually anyways.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so that was that. And then I played some more Radiant Historia.
Cool.
So I got a little bit more into that, and I got to, I'm through probably most of the way through chapter one, and there's kind of like... So as you're going through, there's two different timelines, and I've started playing both of them, and I'm wanting this game to open up more, and I hope it does.
I'm
like where you can go, or open up in terms of just like open up the story more.
It's still a time travel game, and it still feels linear, Jeff. That's
okay.
Yeah, Yeah,
that's what I'm getting at.
I'm just going to say right now, where you're at in the game, I'm probably have about 4 hours on you, and I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting.
That's the thing. It's like, I think that the game is a really cool idea, and the White Chronicle is a really cool idea. You know, you can go to a save point and time travel whenever the fuck you want. That is really cool.
Well, to a point where you make a decision.
Yeah, I mean, you can time travel to any place where there was a decision made. That's what I'm getting. But you can do it whenever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm getting at. But right now, it's like, it feels like this game, you know, and the story that, you know, when Travis was talking about it, he made it sound really cliche. And it kind of is, but it kind of is a little bit different too. So that's keeping me engaged, and the combat is keeping me engaged, but it's still a very linear story, which is something I don't expect for a time travel game. You know, it's like you make a decision, and if the decision is wrong, it just says game over, and you do it again. So it doesn't really feel
that
like...
That is weird. I hit that for the first time, like 2 days ago. I hit that kind of like that, like story by number. Like what is that? Those books you can have, like go to page 32.
Choose
your own adventure. There's a lot of that in this game, and I'm like, whoa, did that just happen? Did I just lose? Like that?
And that's what will happen. Literally, you'll say, I want to do this, and it'll have like this headline of what like the story outcome was called, like a title.
Yeah.
And it'll say Finn underneath. And that's it. You're done. And
you made this decision. Your girlfriend got killed because of you. The end of the world happened, and everybody blamed you, but it doesn't matter because the world is over with Finn.
Yeah.
Good
and
job.
It's really
Fuck
weird.
It.
You know, and you know, as I said, it's like right now the what's keeping me engaged is that the story, when you can keep up with it, is pretty. It's pretty cool, and the combat is really good. So, and there's this whole like giant paradox thing going on, because it's like, you know, I said that you've got like two different timelines, the two main timelines that you go through, and it's like, oh well, you know, if you go through this timeline and you save this dude, and then go to the other timeline, he'll be saved in that timeline too. It's like, but how does that work if I'm the one who saved him?
It makes no sense.
I know. It makes absolutely no sense. But, you know, I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt because, you know, just a video game. I always say that. It's just a game. So, but and you know, I love the style of it. I really do. I love, like, the whole steampunk atmosphere that they've got going on. And, you know, I'm into that. So I'm going to keep playing it, and I'm hoping to get through it. I know that there's a total of, I think, five, maybe six chapters.
Yep.
I'm still on chapter one. I'm about 7 or 8 hours in. So I'm hoping to get a little bit further, especially during MGC, because I'll probably be busting that out whenever I get the chance.
Me too.
But that is it for me.
That is it?
Yeah. I am going to say this, though. I just happen to be jumping around on Amazon, and when I went to... look at Radiant Historia. They were like, other people bought this, and one of those games.
Bullet Storm.
Yeah, one of those games was Nostalgia, and I don't know if you guys remember Nostalgia.
Yeah, I remember Nostalgia.
It was by Ignition.
Ignition. Yeah.
It's fucking $10, man. It is a deal at $10. So if you guys are on Amazon, go check out Nostalgia for $10. That's a good game. It really is.
This news segment brought to you by Interactive Distractions. Available where fine products are sold.
All right, some news. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You guys have anything that you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so.
I got nothing, son.
You got
nothing concrete, anyway.
I've got one thing that I wanted to kind of bring up.
Drop it.
And
drop the
knowledge. There's a rumor that Kotaku reported, and you know I fucking hate Kotaku, so I don't care. But I know that they're the ones that I heard reported it, that the PSP 2 is going to have price point of $250 and $350 for the 3G model.
$250 is awesome.
$250 is awesome.
If they can match the 3DS, that'll be pretty insane.
I agree, and that's the thing I've been talking about. It's like some of the things that they've been doing. Has just been like ridiculous pricing wise. It's like when they made the PSP Go, they had a great opportunity to undercut Nintendo and the shit that they were doing. And they did the same thing with like the Move. They could have undercut Nintendo with the pricing of the Move, but right. they didn't. You know, it's like, oh no, we're still going to price it ridiculously high. And now, you know, there's this rumor coming out that I think it was Ubisoft said that the concept that they had a concept and then it was going to be around $250 for the Wi-Fi only. Which I think would be fantastic, and
yeah, definitely.
That would also
no argument. That would put me to a from day one to day one for sure.
Well, I've actually determined that if it's 300 or less, I'm day one regardless. 250, I will have a tent out front of whatever store I'm buying it from, and I will camp out
or just pre-order it from
or
Travis.
Just pre-order it from Travis
for me. Yeah.
But yeah, baby. That's really all I've got. I mean, I just think that.
Why does he get to wait in the store? Privileges, buddy. Privileges.
That's right. Because we do a podcast together. Back off, bitch. But yeah, so I, you know, rumor or not, man, if it comes true, I am very happy about it. And $250 would be devastating. You know, in like the situation of the portable console war,
yeah.
Because at least it meant that Sony was bringing out a powerful handheld system for the same price as Nintendo.
Yeah, it would mean it would show that they're in serious business. I don't think it would be devastating to Nintendo.
No, I don't.
Se,
no, Nintendo's still going to sell boatloads like
just
of
on
DS,
the DS name
3DSs.
Alone,
yeah,
they're going to sell millions more in the first year.
Yeah, but, and at that price point, good luck finding a PSP.
Well, the thing is, yeah, exactly.
they're not going to be like easy to find.
Yeah, definitely
at
the beginning.
I agree.
And I mean,
I think
who knows
that the
3DS
I think
will take off. Because I think consumers are getting smarter now with like the Wii and everything, and everyone buying the Wii, and now they're realizing how much more powerful other consoles are, and everyone bought the DS. I mean, at least I'm speaking totally North America, by the way, not Japan and Europe. But I have a feeling when the PSP 2 launches, people are be wondering, like, wait a second. Like, this is the same price. And yeah, it doesn't have 3D, but it does all this other stuff, and it looks this much better.
Oh, look, it's got dual analog sticks. Oh, look, it links directly from my PS3. Oh, look, it has cloud saving that I can share game saves with my PS3. Oh, look, it's got all of this stuff. You know,
it's not the same way the DS. Like, the DS is still, like, a great console, like a great handheld. And the 3DS will probably be the same if it has the software. Like, I still think to this day that the DS has better software than the PSP does. Like, that's just
my opinion. Easy.
Well, for stuff, especially for stuff that's to play on the go, like portable stuff. So if that's Nintendo
for
show
me
that
as
quickly,
a gamer, it doesn't. I have a lot more games for my PSP than I do my DS. Yeah.
Yeah. But you don't care about, like, you play your portables anywhere. Like, you'll play that at home. Like, I used to do that. Now I kind of like only want to play them when I'm on the go somewhere, and I want those portable type game experiences, I guess. And I just find that the outside of 30 second, what's it called?
Happen to Hero.
Like, there hasn't been that much stuff on the PSP like that in quite a while.
Well, that is true. That is true. So. But yeah, I mean, I just bought another PSP game today. So
you bought another game? I think it's another PSP.
No. I've already got three PSPs in my house.
What
I don't
did
need
you buy?
A, I bought Tactics Ogre because Amazon has it on special for $28 today.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, it's gonna be interesting. Hopefully that price is not a rumor. Hopefully that is true, because that's gonna be then I'll.
I'm telling you, day one, man. That is a day one purchase for me.
Yep.
And to go from I don't play my portables ever to getting both consoles in my day one. And then a year from now, I'll be like, I don't play my portables ever.
I won't be saying I told you so. All right, let's take a break.
Yeah, probably.
Well, real quick. I have a little bit of tidbit of news. We have to bring it up because it's probably going to happen by the next time we get the podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
There's some big news happening with our network, our podcast network.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's getting an
overhaul. Let's talk about it just for a second.
Yeah, we do need to talk about that, actually. VGevo.com.
Is becoming Retroids.
Yeah. Right.
Which is cool. You know, I like that. That's a good rebranding, I think. And, you know, I guess it really depends. One of the things that, you know, I hope that Terry and Ken are taking into consideration is how intimidating the site is right now.
Yes.
Because they are. Yeah, it's we've recommended it to many people, and many people have given all of us feedback. Like, I tried going there.
Yeah.
You know, even made an account, but I can't. It's just
I'll be honest with you. I saw a Twitter message from someone that says. Mm-hmm. You know, one of our podcast brethren, DG Radio, they used to be called Drunken Gamers Radio. Well, their podcast isn't really a gaming podcast anymore. They've kind of branched off to do other things. One of the things that happened was on Twitter, they were like, are there any dedicated gaming, independent gaming podcasts out there? And I said, well, why don't you check out VG Evo? They have an entire podcast network. And he replies back to me and he goes, yeah, I can't figure that site out.
Yeah.
And that is not, yeah. It's not like he's the only one who says that. So I really hope that Terry and Ken are taking that into consideration.
I spoke actually today in the show box. I was like, that's what I'm looking forward to most. Like, I don't care about, there's people putting in their comment with a name change. A lot of people, you get used to name after these years go by, and it kind of, getting a new one all of a sudden kind of sucks, and people are like, it's taking away, the identity, it doesn't, whatever, but I was like, I don't care about the name change, that's cool, I'm cool with it either way, but as long as the site's getting an overhaul and a whole makeover, whatever, he's like, no, that's what we're gonna do that, and that's what we're most looking forward to, so.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, you can tell people, until you're blue in the face, oh, just give it a chance. You'll get used to it. It's really not that bad once you start going there often. You can say that until you are blue in the face and people don't care.
No.
Yeah, well, dude, it needs to be user-friendly as soon as they pull it up.
We've been
the
there
first
for
time.
How long? And I still don't know where to post it.
I haven't seen a post from Jeff in 8 years.
It's not like what I do is for my posting, I look in our specific forums, or I go to on the right-hand side, I look at the threads that are getting the most activity. Mm-hmm. If that thread disappears from that sidebar, I have no idea where to find it.
No idea.
I'm like, fuck. And I just hope someone else brings it back up later so I can see what's going on.
I'll be honest with you guys, I don't even look in the forums itself. It's like they have that new posts link at the top. Yeah. I just click on that shit and that's where I look at my stuff.
That's where I go to. Yeah.
That's the easiest way to do it.
And it's fun to make fun of now because it's all changing for the better. So
it's all changing. Yeah. Yeah.
And we're pretty invested in VG Evo or Retroids, however you want to put it.
Definitely. And they have some new shirts up on there too.
I ordered three of them.
Cool. Oh, nice. Yeah, good shit.
I ordered the Retroids logo one. I ordered the No Punching Cats.
Yeah, of course.
And I ordered the Dragons one.
Ah, cool. So Here Be Dragons.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It's have you not ever seen that picture?
No.
It's from an old Atari 2600 game called Adventure. And you were a little square, and you picked up a little arrow, and you stabbed a dragon, and that's what the dragon looked like.
This is a thing.
This is a thing, yes.
It's a thing. Okay.
This is an actual thing.
That's all you should have told me. Atari 2600, right over my head. Travis, it's a thing.
It's a thing.
It exists.
It's Tampax.
It's totally Tampax. God, thank you for bringing it back, Jeff.
Oh, man. Cool.
All right,
let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about franchises that we enjoyed in the past, but we don't quite as much right now. And we're going to do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
I need a drink. It's time to wake up.
Winner of 17 fictional awards. Possibly more, I'm not really too sure. Because they're fictional, you see. Hailed as the greatest technical and artistic achievement of all humankind.
Yeah, that's totally the greatest technical and artistic achievement known to man,
See what I mean? People freaking love us.
Aw, freaking love you guys.
We've almost caused car crashes because we're that good.
I almost crashed my car because of you. What you got to do about it,
Absolutely nothing, my friend. Just enjoy Down to 4x from VG Evo. Oh, and iTunes as well.
And welcome back.
Yeah.
Today, we're talking about franchises that we've liked in the past. And, we just don't dig as much right now. For some reason. And we did get a few responses from this, but I think most of our listeners are being lazy right now and they don't feel like sending emails. That's all right. We love you guys anyway.
Being lazy.
Travis, why don't you take it away, man?
All right. Sean Recupito comes in and says, Mario. There, I said it. Mario. I've heard the recent games are great and maybe I've just grown out of it, but I have absolutely zero interest in playing a Mario game anymore. Also, Turok on N64 was great in my opinion and one of the main reasons I bought the system, but I haven't enjoyed a Turok game since.
Nobody else has either.
Except
for John Muncher.
Except for John Muncher, that's right. He's probably cursing us right now.
I agree with him about the Turok. The first Turok was amazing, and then it started doing all the weird arena stuff.
Man, the fog
stuff,
effect was just awesome.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that was totally there for special effects.
That's right.
Right, yeah.
I agree with him with Mario.
Yeah, really? I'm gonna be honest with you. For as far as Mario goes, I mean, after the Super NES era, I didn't really get back into Mario until, you know, Galaxy.
Thank you,
because I honestly thought I was going to get reamed for putting this on my list.
No, dude, I mean, it's not on my list because, you know, I mean, I did enjoy New Super Mario Brothers a lot on the
DS. Yeah, same.
But, like, I mean, but same idea. It's like New Super Mario Brothers on the DS. I love the shit out of it, but New Super Mario Brothers Wii, I think I've played through the first world, and that was
dude,
it.
Dude, same, same here. We're on the exact same wavelength. I played all the way through Mario, like, the DS version. 1.5 times.
Yeah.
For some reason, the Wii version, I can't do it.
Man.
I'm like through the first world, and that's about it, and I can't do it. And as much as I like the Galaxy games, well, the Galaxy game, I didn't play the first one, they're great. But ever since Super Mario World, I just kind of stopped caring for Mario. Like, what was the, I guess the next big one after that was
64.
One for GameCube. Yeah. Well, 64. Yeah, 64 was kind of cool. I just didn't have a 64 at the time. So that time passed, and then it was that one for GameCube, which I had no interest in whatsoever.
Yeah, the one for what was it? Sunshine.
GameCube. Yeah, Mario Sunshine.
Yeah, yeah. I've never touched that game. I've never touched it. But I mean, and that's the thing. It's like the Galaxy games were like the first ones that actually felt different to me and actually like felt refreshing. Yeah. So I mean, I played through the Galaxy games, but you know, it was like it was Super Mario World, and then I played 64. I played Mario 64, but I never owned it.
I don't actually own
the game right now. I never owned Sunshine. I never played any of those. And, you know, I grabbed Galaxy and I liked that. But, you know, I'm not going to say I don't enjoy the game anymore, but I did take like a hiatus from it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, same idea though. I mean, New Super Mario Bros. For DS was awesome. And then for the Wii, I just couldn't do it.
I don't know why. And I don't know what it is because, like, I actually think the games are fun, but for some reason, if I put it down, I don't have the urge to go back to it or to them, really.
That's the thing.
Very,
I mean,
weird.
Like, Mario games are just fantastic platformers.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. 100%. And we all like, all three of us like platforming games. And that's like the epitome of like a good platformer, Mario games. But something about it, like Sean says, I don't know if it's just because, I don't want to say I outgrew them because the gameplay, good gameplay is always good gameplay.
Exactly. Like, there's no outgrowing Mario. I mean, you can say all you want that it's a kid's game, but, you know, you're full of shit. Mario is Mario.
Exactly.
And platforming is platforming, and Mario is platforming. Seriously.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think it's just, I guess I played so many platformers back in the 16-bit era that unless something is really, really different, I just don't have the urge to kind of keep going with it. I don't know.
I really do want to get back to the Wii version, though.
Same here. I wish it was online.
Oh, no shit, dude. What is that about?
I don't know. It's about Nintendo. What do you mean, what's that about? It's about...
This is true. Oh, wait. We can't play online. I don't have your friend code.
Oh, well, you can give it to me, but I, you know, long distance charges. I don't want to be on the phone for an hour.
Yeah.
So. Oh, shit. All right. What do we got next?
All right, Jeff Wildman, speak of the devil, Better Tomorrow.
What's up, Better Tomorrow?
He says, hey, gents, thinking back, there isn't too many franchises that are still around that I've lost interest in or don't like. However, a couple do come to mind. The first is Twisted Metal. I used to love this franchise to death, the fact that the original was the first PS1 game I ever played and the reason I wanted the console. Throughout the generation, I continued to adore Twisted Metal games, even the weaker 3 and 4. But for some reason, beyond the PS1 era, I just lost interest. I never bought and hardly even played Black. Never touched the PSP version, and the new PS3 reboot has nothing to get me the least bit excited. So I guess that'll always remain a PS1 franchise for me. Second thing that comes to mind is not a franchise, but it's a genre. And I am sorry to say that this genre is fighting games. I have nothing against them personally, and in fact, I wish I could play them more, but for some reason, I just can't get into them anymore. When I was a kid, I was a huge fighting game fanatic. I played a lot of Street Fighter 2, Eternal Champions, Marvel vs. Capcom.
Eternal Champions.
Killer Instinct,
somebody
Clay
actually
Fighters.
Played that game?
Dude,
Primal Rage. I played
the
shit out of that game.
I'll be honest with you guys, I have the Sega CD version of Eternal Champions.
That's the best
one.
It's the best one, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, maybe it was the fact that I played more in the arcade back then. I really don't know. By over the years, I just drifted away from the genre. I think the last one I played to any large extent was Soul Calibur 2. I tried really hard to get into Street Fighter 4 and MVC, but they just feel very overwhelming, and I can't bring myself to invest enough time to get accustomed to them. Sad face.
Yeah.
Anywho, great topic this week. Later in Dudes, Better Tomorrow. Yes, Twisted Metal sucks balls now. I have
yeah,
to agree.
I'm with you on that, man. I played the first Twisted Metal, and that was it for me.
I played one and then Black, I think.
I liked Black.
Black was awesome.
Yeah, I have the newest PSP version. I can't remember what the hell the name of it was, but
I am looking forward to the new one. I'm not gonna lie. Like I think
no interest.
Really?
I actually am curious about it because I know Jaffe's got his hand in it again.
Dog, it's the same shit. It's the same shit.
Because I haven't played that shit
but
in a long time.
If anything this generation has taught us is the same shit from back in the day seems to be working. Hello, Mortal Kombat. Hello,
no
Street
doubt.
Fighter. Hello,
no like, doubt.
I don't know, man. Like and like that mode, that main mode that they're touting, where
sounds ridiculous.
Like 8 levels of hell that you have to go through just to win a round. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that does sound. That's kind of pipe dreamish to me. Like when they demoed that, I was like, balancing issues with that is. I don't think it's gonna be a game that's actually gonna complete with the actual like objectives being done.
Yeah,
there's no way it's gonna be like timeout every time or something. But
I remember watching that conference and he's like, okay, first you gotta kill the leader, and once you kill the leader, you take
you
the football
bomb,
he has,
and then you gotta have someone controlling the nuke, and then you have to have someone like guarding you controlling the nuke, and then when you launch the nuke, you gotta control the nuke, but they can shoot down the nuke with this and this. If they shoot down the nuke, you gotta kill the leader again. If you kill the leader again, you gotta go back and do like. Oh my god.
And then there's a statue. If you don't destroy the statue won't fall into
if you don't fall, then you gotta go make a sandwich. If you don't make a sandwich inside, you drop a tomato on the ground, then you're fucked, and then your dog's gonna eat it, and then you might as well just fucking play another game.
And then you unlock Burger Time.
Yes.
Where you jump. Oh my god. Okay, I'm sorry. That pisses me off. The new Burger Time, you can jump.
You can
I'm sorry. Are we moving on to the next?
I didn't even
question?
Know there was a new Burger Time, dude.
Oh my god, it pisses me off.
The element. He mentioned sandwiches, and it just kept popped in my head. It's like
I'm so sorry. The last time that you guys brought up the Bionic Commando Rearm 2, and you're like, oh, you can jump now. I don't think, and I'm like, oh no, it'll make the game better. It'll make it more modern. I am so sorry for every fucking comment I've ever made regarding Rearm 2.
You're like, oh, it'll make better.
I am so sorry because when they said you can jump in Burger Time, I'm like, shut the fuck up. You're not releasing that game ever.
You're fucking fired. I don't want to hear anything from you ever again.
Step in my office. Why? Because you're fucking fired.
You're fucking fired. You just got Trump, biatch.
What is this about jumping at Burger Time? Get out of my office.
There is no jumping in my Burger Time.
Alrighty.
In my Burger Time.
What was the first game you said?
He said Twisted Metal was the first
game. Twisted
Metal
was
the first one. Okay.
And then
what was the second one he said?
He talked about fighting games. That's
fighting
a genre.
Games.
He can't do it.
I agree with him until this generation. Like, I fell out of them for a long time.
I skipped Street Fighter 3 pretty much altogether.
I went from 2 to
the Versus series and then, you know, 4. That was And I played some of the Alpha series too, but, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, he mentioned the arcade thing, and I think that was a big thing to do with me, and I think a lot of people, is once arcades, once it become, like, no one went there anymore, and everyone just played on console, and that was probably around the time, that was probably around Alpha 2-ish time, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. Right,
I still remember playing X-Men vs. Street Fighter in arcades, I remember playing that, and then after that, though, I'd get all the games, like, at least the Capcom-based ones, mostly, and play them, but me and my friends weren't competitive anymore, because we didn't play them in arcades, and it was just kind of like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Playing them versus here and there. Not really. There's no internets really at the time, like where you could easily check up stuff. So we didn't know how to do like advanced stuff in the games. But now this generation totally brought me right back into fighting games again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeff Wood Jay was very reluctant to bring up the fact that the fighting game, the complete genre, kind of just lost interest to him. But you know that was until this generation. Aside from the hardcore, I mean, it pretty much it was dead. Almost.
Oh, it died.
Dead,
no,
but, like,
it was totally
just,
like in terms of mainstream, it
gone.
Died. It was done.
Yeah, it was
like,
completely gone. So it's not just you, Jeff Wood Jay. It's everybody.
Like, especially 2D ones. Like, I mean,
it's not just you, Jeff Wood Jay.
Like, of course, Soul Calibur, Tekken, those games are popular, but
they
but
never really
2D scroll. Those were totally dead in the water.
Yeah,
I don't know. Virtua Fighter and Tekken were pretty big for at a time
in the arcades.
In the arcades,
they're also 3D though.
Oh, I'll tell you what, dude, they were big on PlayStation, the original PlayStation 2, man.
Definitely
Tekken games, man.
Soul Calibur and Tekken have been pretty popular since
on consoles,
the first game on consoles. Yeah, because they're 3D and they're the new thing. But I'm saying that the 2D ones totally.
Or Soul Blade in America because they're fucking retards.
Soul Blade, yeah.
No, it doesn't. That's not big of a deal.
I actually own Soul Edge. I just want to make sure everybody knows that.
I have Soul Blade. Or had Soul Blade. That game's terrible.
No, that was fucking awesome. Shut
it's
up.
It's terrible. Compared to Soul Calibur.
Well, yeah, compared Soul to Soul Calibur, yeah. Calibur, but it was still a good game for what it was.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, for what it was good.
All right, let's do another email.
All right, this one comes from our buddy Andrew Thomas. The people in the Twitter universe may know him as the Dark Bower. One game I used to love playing as a kid was Gran Turismo 2. I remember taking days off of school just to grind out quick races, saving up for new types and a better engine. Whilst I played GT 3 and 4, none of them grabbed my attention as much as 2 did. And I didn't even touch Gran Turismo 5. Maybe it's because I don't have the time to properly enjoy it because my taste in games have changed over the years. Or you haven't had time to sit through the install. That's probably the main reason he hasn't played it.
Oh, welcome to the joke of 5 months ago.
So anyway, that's
it. It's a complete game now. Apparently it's really good with all the updates. I haven't played Gran Turismo 5 in literally like 2 months, so.
I'm waiting for it to become greatest hit before I buy it.
No, it'll be soon, probably.
I'm sure it will be, man. It sold like millions of copies. Yeah,
it sold really well.
And that game is ridiculous. No matter how many people say, oh, you know, it's been about time it came out, there's still like 500, 5 million, 6 million people that fucking bought it.
The sad part is, though, it still is the worst selling Gran Turismo ever so far.
Is it really?
In terms of how many people bought it to this point of release, yeah.
Yeah, but at this point where the last Gran Turismo came out, though, how many PS2s did people have in their hands and how many PS3s did people have in their hands at that time? So
Gran Turismo 3?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a big drive. It was a pack-in for PS3, PS2 for a while, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to judge.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I've never gotten to any of those games, so they've always been dead to me.
I'm actually with Jack on this one because I played the shit out of part one. I mean, literally to the point where I had beaten almost every single race, including the endurance races.
Oh, wow.
And then I played a lot of two. I have 3 and 4 on PS2, but I've barely touched them. Yeah. And 4 was a big deal to me because it was like, oh my gosh, Gran Turismo 4, it actually displays in 1080i. Oh my goodness. And yeah, it doesn't
matter.
But
no one had
1080i
TVs back then. So.
I did. I was one of those dumb fuckers that, you know, I was an early adopter.
Super early adopter.
Yeah, super early adopter that got fucked with it because my PS3 wouldn't display in 1080i on a 1080i only TV. And, you know, part 5, I haven't even touched.
See, I was thinking about putting that on my list, but I was like, I can't really because I love the shit of the first one.
And you put it on your game of the year list, last year.
Well, no, hold on. Yeah, exactly that too. But yeah, I love the first one. Didn't play the second one until, get this, I played it on Dreamcast. And a lot of people would be like, what the fuck? How the hell did you play it on Dreamcast? But late in the Dreamcast era days, there was like, these discs you could buy. I can't remember what they were called, and they were sold at retail.
Yeah.
There was two games, Metal Gear Solid and Gran Turismo 2. So you'd basically buy these discs that would let you play these PS1 games on it with slightly updated, basically better resolution.
Right. Totally legal. Wink!
They were sold at retailers, so they somehow found a way to get around it. Eventually, Sony stopped it from happening. They couldn't sell them anymore. I can't remember what the hell these discs were called.
Copyright infringement. That's what they were called.
But I bought it at I bought it at an EB Games, so they were legit. But I totally didn't really play it that much. Played 3 a lot. Totally skipped 4, and then jumped right back into 5. So it was like every second one, I play quite a bit.
Jeff, you are absolutely right. I just looked up the numbers. Gran Turismo 5 is the worst selling proper Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
To this point. Man.
I think it might get there eventually.
What's the best-selling one?
I think 3 is the best-selling one because it was a pack-in with PS2 for the longest time.
You would be correct.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Almost 15 million copies.
I know how to drop knowledge here and there.
What's the second most?
Second most is probably
2.
2, yeah, because I say 1 or 1 or 2. It's 1 or 2.
It's 1.
Is it 1K?
Yeah.
God, see, I don't know shit.
Gran Turismo 2 is actually, out of the 5, it is the 4th.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it goes 3, and then 1, and then 4, and then 2, and then 5.
Ah, okay. I think 5 will get there. I think 5 will do better than 2, then, if that's the case.
Yeah, as soon as they...
What's the greatest hits?
As soon as they put it in greatest hits, it's going to sell another 5 million copies, man. Well, yeah, I don't think it'll be that much, but it'll sell another.
Wow, that's a bold
yeah. Wow.
Hey, I would bet that once they put it into, probably when they get it to the point where it's going to be greatest hits, you're mm-hmm. probably going to be looking at 6.5 to 7 million because right now it's at 6.01.
Okay, wow.
6 million copies. So it'll probably be like 6.5, 7 by the time it goes greatest hits. And I would say that you'd sell another 2 to 3 million with it.
Oh, easily. Yeah, for sure. And it'll happen this year. I would say, you know what? I'd say it happens in a few months.
I would say summer. They'll probably announce that shit at E3. Gran Turismo 5, greatest hit.
I don't think they'll announce it.
Put that on my predictions.
Maybe they will.
Put that on my predictions. E3, they're going to announce Gran Turismo 5 as greatest hits.
Cool. That's a very, very lackluster. I know. Congratulations. And wait for it. You're not going to believe this. Gran Turismo 5. Greatest hits today.
Go boom.
It's in stores now.
Megaton.
Megaton.
And by the way, we brought Halo to PS3.
But nah, who cares? Yeah.
Who cares about that? Gran Turismo, greatest hits.
Right,
do we mention Torchlight's coming to PSN?
And Heavy Rain 2! Okay, the next email, I'm going to do a quick disclaimer. Shadow Hato wrote us in at about 30 minutes into when we started recording the show.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go ahead and say that the three that I have written down in the sheet of paper right here, literally he has mentioned in this email. So his email is pretty much going to be my final thoughts.
All right, so we're doing Shadow Hato's email and Travis's basically wrap-up to this feature.
Yeah, so here we go. What up, guys? Looks like I just barely made it in time to submit my question of the week email. Woot! It took me quite a while to come up with some series that didn't start with Final Fantasy and end with a number higher than 8.
Snap!
Although I suppose I did like 11 online and 12, so there are a few series that I think have gone downhill over the years, and I'm guessing that my first answer will be repeated. So of course, Final Fantasy is definitely one of them for me. Legend of Zelda, the next one, is the first series I thought of. While I definitely love the games from Ocarina of Time and back, as well as a couple of older handheld Zeldas, I just can't get into the newer style Zeldas. Although I still plan to give Twilight Princess another chance, I can't stand the DS touchscreen only bullshit. That's not how I play Zelda. 3D Dot Game Heroes was a godsend, and Nintendo needs to stop being gimmicky.
Darksiders. no, seriously, Shadow Hada, you need to check out Darksiders.
He says he doesn't like Twilight Princess.
That's okay.
No, it's not okay.
If you liked Ocarina of Time, he will like Darksiders.
Okay, well, even if he liked Ocarina of Time but didn't like Twilight Princess, I think Darksiders is more Twilight Princess.
It's good. You should try.
I like Darksiders.
Go buy Darksiders.
Don't. Next would be Metroid. Why can't we have 2D Metroid games anymore? Because they're awesome and people love them? Makes sense to me. There was this glimmer of hope with Other M, but the whole not being able to move while pointing at the screen to shoot missiles, quote-unquote, mechanic, was pretty obnoxious. Although, I don't need a portable Metroid pinball game. Thanks again, Nintendo. Lastly, we have to say the Tony Hawk series. Where do I even begin? I highly doubt that I'm the only one who enjoyed doing, as my friends would say, super kicky McFlip combos, as opposed to the realism.
Super kicky McFlip, is that what he said?
That's the genre. It's literally the genre.
Oh, Jesus.
As opposed to the realism of the skate series. I loved how crazy and off the wall those games were. It started to get a little out of hand at the beginning of this console generation, and I don't think I have to tell you how well Tony Hawk Ride sold.
You want Tony Hawk Ride. You know you want it.
I'm going to tell you, if I found that game for like 20 bucks new, right? If I found it for like 20, 30 bucks new, I'd buy it.
And you told me I had a problem for downloading a trial version of fucking Battle Los Angeles, which is free.
Touche.
There's a difference. This comes with a perif.
You've been served, motherfucker.
Are we abbreviating everything now? Perif? Really?
Yeah, it comes with a perif, yeah. Neversoft had an amazing thing going for them, and it was taken all away. Can you guys just re-release that first Tony Hawk Underground, please? Why are companies so afraid to use concepts that work? I am glad to see video games moving in new directions, but that doesn't mean you should alienate the things that got you here. Hope that made sense. Take care, guys. Nate, a.k.a. Shadow Hato.
Thanks, Shadow.
Okay, I have other games on my list, but he mentioned all the ones that he mentioned, I completely agree with.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything really he said. I just didn't have them on my list. But I will give he did mention Final Fantasy, and Travis, you said that's on your list.
Final Fantasy is on my list because
isn't 12 the first one that really disappointed you though?
It's not me. The first one that really disappointed me was 10.
So, see, I love 10.
Yeah, I could not
really like 10.
In regards to what we're talking about, I wouldn't put Final Fantasy on my list only because like I was like I like them. Like again, I've never beat them, but I've never not liked any of them until really 13. Right. So I'm like, well, you know, every series is gonna have like a bad game that you don't like, but I'm not writing it off because of it.
Final
10,
Fantasy,
11, 12, okay. And 13. Seriously, all of those games. I played them all, and you know they just didn't.
For
I
me,
was not satisfied with them.
I agree, but for me to whenever they announce the Final Fantasies that are coming out, like Final Fantasy Versus, yeah. I'm not touching those.
So when they announce Final Fantasy, let's hope they don't do a Final Fantasy 15, and hopefully they'll reboot the series or something. Or
you know they won't.
They're going to have to come out and say we're fixing everything. Like pretty much what they did with Final Fantasy IX after 7 and 8, which were good games, after 7 and 8, but they went with Final Fantasy IX and said, we're going back to our roots. We're going back to old school Final Fantasy. We know there were things that were missing in the last two games that you love about Final Fantasy that weren't there in the last two games. We're bringing it back. And they did. And Final Fantasy IX is my favorite PS1 era Final Fantasy because they did go back to those roots that we saw in like the Super Nintendo days.
I was
and
so happy to see that little black mage.
Oh, it was so great. Vivi is great. It's still one of my favorite characters to date.
Yeah.
So basically, the next Final Fantasy proper game, you'll want nothing of unless they do something like that. Basically.
They need to come out and say, we understand the issues that we had in developing Final Fantasy 13. I want to hear them say that.
They're
we
not
know
say
we had
that.
Issues. They said that with 9. Sakaguchi straight up came out and said there were issues with 7
but
and 8.
I don't think there's that much
roots.
Hate towards... There's definitely not that much hate towards 7. Maybe towards 8 there was some. But I know there's a lot of people who... Well, at least around VGvo that think 8's their favorite game. Like,
I'm
sure Scott...
I love 7 and 8.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
Scott,
sure it's favorite.
I beat 7 and 8, both.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I loved 9, so, but I never
I don't
finished
think,
9.
Yeah, my point really? Is I don't think 7 or 8 has even close to as much hate as 13 does. As close to it. And I don't think... I don't know. Do you think Square, as they are now, will actually swallow their pride?
That's the thing. It's like at least like every other Final Fantasy that has been out up until 13 came out had some sort of exploration in it, and 13 had none. Oh, except for that one chapter. Except for that one chapter.
I'm looking at more of like the size of the company. Like Square is based; they're huge. Like
yeah, they're pretty big. Yeah.
Yeah.
How much money they have and everything, and what they can do, and I don't think they'll swallow their pride. Like you look at their fucking announcement or. Release date announcement trailer they put out that was full of pretentious
hey guess
bullshit.
What we're doing on like this date we're gonna announce another date it's gonna be
not
great.
Just that though there's more with Square than just you know like stupid ass announcement videos and everything but like they're stepping back more they're jumping off of the developing train and now focusing publishing. More on publishing stuff like they publish fucking
they're turning into Ubisoft like East.
Yeah, that's not the Squaresoft that I knew. Like,
dude, they're publishing Moondivers.
Yeah,
no,
they're publishing some good stuff.
They're publishing
no doubt about that.
The Strider's spiritual successor.
Yeah, for sure. Which I can't wait for.
Yeah,
but
me
I mean,
too.
That does look good.
I'm gonna try and get a code for that because I want to do that on industry.
Yeah, that looks really good.
Yeah, I agree. But no, I mean, I completely agree. It's like, and it's funny too because, you know, ever since Square Enix kind of merged, I'm still seeing good stuff out of Enix, the Enix side, but I'm not seeing as much good stuff out of the Square side.
How can you tell which one's the Enix side, though?
Because,
it's the stuff that
previous
they're developing.
Previous series.
Yeah.
Like what?
Dragon Quest,
pretty much.
I guess, which Dragon Quest?
Dragon Quest 9 is fantastic.
But wasn't that level 5?
Well, yeah, but it's still an Enix product.
Yeah.
But is there anyone from Enix that are working? Like, that's what I mean. Like, is it just a name at this point, or are they actually like an actual
level five? Level
Square?
5 developed. I'm pretty sure
I'm
that level 5
sure
developed
Enix
it
has
with
a hand
Enix
in it,
having
though.
A hand.
Yeah, they have a hand.
And
in it.
I mean,
to.
Honestly, level 5 is doing. They're. I mean, obviously, people loved what level 5 did with 9 because they are working on 10 for the Wii. Apparently,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know.
No. I totally agree with that. I'm just wondering if Level 5 actually were part of Enix when they were back when they were Enix, or if they were just a company that Square Enix decided to have developed this game for them.
No, I think that they're just the company that
besides
they
the art style, which is done by the same dude, which has nothing to do with Enix whatsoever, I don't see.
Yeah. I really wish they would change that art style. I'm really tired of looking at Dragon Ball Z characters in my Dragon Quest games. Seriously.
Right. And I just want to see Square do more, I mean, ambitious, but still stick with your roots, because there's something about RPGs that need to stay.
Here's what I want. I want no more numbers. Call it Final Fantasy subtitle. And Final Fantasy 14 is not Final Fantasy 14. It's Final Fantasy Online 2. Come on. Let's be real.
Exactly. That's a no-brainer. That should have been Final Fantasy Online 2. Definitely. 100%. Yeah.
Well, my thing is, I just want to see good shit. That's what I want to see. And I want to see it come from a publisher / developer that I still love but hate myself for kind of giving up on them. Because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at, you know, the last story on the Wii, Famitsu, with their scoring gives it two tens and two nines. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, why can't we have that? Like, where is that at? And that's not even a Square title. It pretty much is, because it's Sakaguchi.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, like, you know, why can't we get titles like this?
And you know what's really sad?
Because who was the core of those companies are gone, and they don't care about this.
What's really sad is the most exciting stuff that we're getting from Square right now is shit that's being released on the PSN store as PS1 classics.
Yeah.
Hey, Parasite Eve.
Parasite Eve is fucking coming, and
it's already out.
Vagrant Story.
It's out, yeah.
Right, because that came out Tuesday, right?
Xeno's out?
Vagrant Story was last week. Xenogears was a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I mean, that's not a good place to be. When people are getting more excited about the older shit that you're re-releasing, that's
not good.
Dude, it's like Ubisoft. When Ubisoft was small, they were a lot better than they were than when they were big. And same thing happened to EA and, like, all Activision. They get too big, they basically hire too many people, they get too many, they outsource too much stuff, and it becomes more and more about,
too
let's
many
pump
hands
out games that people will buy. Exactly,
pot.
And not about the quality of the games.
Yeah, and you know what the problem is? We're sitting here and we can lay this list out of all these PS1 games that are being re-released and say, yeah, okay, well, that's cool we're getting these games, but this is not a good thing. For that developer, but they're sitting back and they're just collecting a fat fucking check, dude. They're just collecting checks.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, PS1 classics are free money, baby. There's no overhead there.
Gotta get that cheddar. That PS1 cheddar.
Jack, have any other games that he, or is that the only one?
He mentioned Metroid as well, and that's kind of one for me as well. I played Metroid Prime 1, and I have Part 2, and I played
3
it for like...
3 is awesome.
Yeah, and that's the thing, I never played 3. I got Other M and barely touched it, you know? Mm-hmm. I got the, what was it? The GBA games, like Zero Mission, and what was the other one? Fusion.
Fusion. Yeah, those were good games.
Yeah, because they were old school 2D style.
But you haven't really.
But here's the deal.
You don't really care
for
them anymore.
To me, this is where, like, okay, yeah, we haven't had a 2D Metroid in a hot minute, but that's where games like, what's its face from Epic,
Shadow
Complex from Chet?
Shadow Complex filled my desire.
Oh, God,
just fine.
Hell yeah.
Like, I didn't...
Where's 2?
Okay, well, yeah, where's 2? Like, give us 2, and I won't think about
Metroid
for
another... They said
it was
coming.
Yeah. Well, hopefully.
Give me that, and I won't think about Metroid for the longest time, because at least we have something of quality in the genre.
You know what? You know, people are talking about, like, well, when I saw a Russian attack at E3... It almost kind of looks like that Shadow Complex-like feel. I hope they do it.
It does, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah, I don't think it is
it's
either. But it would be, it would be fucking cool to have that.
Aesthetically, it looks kind of similar. But.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's as far as it goes, as the aesthetics.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he also mentioned Tony Hawk series. I mean, the Tony Hawk series, I mean, you could write a book about where that shit threw that into the ground. That was
on my list, yeah. Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Ever since Underground, I have not cared about that at all.
Zelda was on my list, but only because I can't stand the cel-shaded games. And it's not because of the aesthetics, because I love the aesthetic of it. Mm-hmm. It's just that they became, like, boredom Seriously, really? it's like Wind Waker is, I don't want to sail for 10 minutes to the next island, you know? It's like, I want a fucking overworld. Give me a fucking overworld experience that I can enjoy and fight shit and get rupees and stuff like that. And
but
it's like,
when you're talking about cell shaded game, you're talking about the DS titles too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Phantom Hourglass is the same thing. It was like, hey, let's go sailing. And as much as I liked Spirit Tracks at first, it was like, it was still the same damn thing. Hey, let's get on the train and we're just gonna go. That's it. And I tap the screen every once in a while and shoot the cannon.
I didn't bother with Spirit Tracks. I didn't even, I didn't complete,
Phantom Hourglass. It's like, if they're going to do it that way, I want Phantom Hourglass. I want that aesthetic, but I want it old school style shit. Like, I want it like Zelda 1 shit. Give me an overworld that I can.
I was talking to people, at the GameStop there, they were saying, fucking remake Link to the Past, like HD graphics, whatever, like top down.
I would buy that in a heartbeat.
Or buy a new game like that and put it on your WiiWare or whatever you want to do. Dude, put it for your new downloadable thing for the 3DS and that shit will sell like mad.
That would be hot.
And
no, but first they have to make the 3D version of Ocarina of Time. Whatever.
Well, you know what the sad part is? A lot of people are going to buy it, just like a lot of people
are. Just like a lot of people bought
Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I mean, I did play through Twilight Princess, though. I will say that.
I didn't play through it, but from what I played, I didn't have any problems with it. But then again, I'm not huge Zelda fans like Travis is or like Chris that you've played, so I enjoyed what I played of it.
Yeah, I that's the thing. That's what I mean. I enjoyed Twilight Princess. I have nothing against that game.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
All right. Well, let's talk about ours, man. Jeff, what's on your list, buddy?
Oh man. Besides the ones that were already said, like Mario, which again has just something to do with something weird in me that says, why do you just can't stick with these games? I got Metal Gear Solid.
Really?
But
you played
besides four,
didn't you?
Well, I played through four. Besides four being like my game of the year that year, I can't go back to it. I've tried many times to go back to playing this game because I love it. I'm like, I fucking love this game when I played it. And I don't know if it was just the whole like first really big AAA game on PS3 and it just fucking blew me away, whatever it is. I don't know. I can't get through it. I didn't care for 3 when it came out.
Oof.
I had a PS2 at the time. Just didn't care. But I loved 1 and 2. Like, Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear Solid 2, I loved. Day 1, played through them multiple times. Loved them. But for some reason, 3, couldn't get into. 4, I did love. I honestly did love. It's not like I didn't like it at the time. I just can't get back to it now. And anything else to do with Metal Gear, I just don't really care for. And that kind of includes Rising, which we haven't really seen much of, but I don't know. Another one, Mortal Kombat. Besides Street Fighter.
Well, Mortal Kombat kind of just started to suck after Part 3.
Well,
so.
That's the thing. Well, yeah, a lot of people say they just kind of suck at Part 3, but in my mind, I'm thinking they all kind of were not good. Looking back on it now, I put a lot of time into that, which kind of took me away from the Street Fighter series. And I was able to jump right back to the Street Fighter series, and they brought it back.
I'm going to have to disagree, man. You're going to tell me that you're going to
disagree
gonna sit
with
here.
My opinion
you're
that I.
I disagree
Street
with
Fighter
your with your opinion. No, I'm going to say that
you haven't even let me say my opinion yet. Yeah, I haven't even said why.
Well, basically,
yet,
you're saying that they're not all. That they're pretty much not really. If you look at it in terms of fighting game, like
mechanics.
It's just not a good game, period? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying they don't stand up to what I remember. Like, when I go back and play Mortal Kombat 2, Mortal Kombat 3, and Mortal Kombat 1, knowing, like, what you know... Like, there's no... Okay. Well, I talked about the whole thing is how there's no differentiate. There's no differential between the characters besides special moves. Let's totally forget about the new one that's coming out, like Mortal Kombat, like the demo and everything like that. Nothing really differentiated the characters besides special moves and fatalities. Which, at the time, I didn't care about. All I cared about then was fatalities, cool fatalities, and cool level stage fatalities. But once that novelty wore off, I had no reason to go back to these games. And for some reason, when Mortal Kombat 4 came out, I just didn't care. Because when Mortal Kombat 4 came out, I was playing like Tekken and Virtual Fighter.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought at the time were better technical fighters. That I was like, well, these games are just more fun. Because I just don't care about gore anymore in games. Like, that was the thing with Mortal Kombat. It was the gore that sold me. I was like, that's why I like this game. It's
that's
fun.
Why you got the Genesis version for of Part
exactly.
2.
Over
the,
exactly.
ABACABB.
That's blood. Right.
Exactly.
Right,
baby. Cab, right? Nice. Bringing it back. And I think a lot of people are going to be kind of, they're going to have a rude awakening when Mortal Kombat releases in April, because a lot of people I've talked to say, well, I like Mortal Kombat because it's all about like raw fun, just having fun. It's not about crazy combos or like putting work into it. But I thought kind of the same thing until I, like, literally today or yesterday, I looked up like Mortal Kombat 2 combos, Mortal Kombat 3 combos. There are so many characters that have 100% combos that
really?
Wipe you out if they hit you one. Oh, yeah. Look it up. Look up on YouTube, Mortal Kombat 2 combos, Mortal Kombat 3 combos. That the juggle the hell out of you, and basically if they hit you once, you're done. And the thing is, but at this time, like again, there's no internet, so unless you were playing in a community that actually knew how to do all this stuff, you weren't exposed to it. It was like the awakening I got when I was opened up to a totally new world of Street Fighter when HD came out, and when they brought out the Street Fighter 2 Turbo on Xbox Live and PSN. Where I was like, oh yeah, me and my friends were really good. Then I was like, oh my god, I didn't even know you could do half this shit. And I think that's what people are going through right now with Mortal Kombat, because Mortal Kombat has never really been popular, really popular, since 3, or like Ultimate. They've kind of dwindled, no one's really cared. So they have this nostalgia of it being just a fun fighting game that people can jump into, just have fun, do fatalities. But I think people are going to realize when they start playing this game online that it's the same as any other fighting game, whereas if you put a lot of work into it, you're going to just be able to dominate people, and people are just going to get just as frustrated. The difference with me is, playing the demo, I forgot to talk about this in Distractions, is it still feels like Mortal Kombat to me, where it just feels kind of sluggish and kind of, I don't know, like, I just feel like I'm not really in total control of the character that I have on screen. Like, not, I'm not saying it does shit automatically, just that the it just feels kind of off. I don't know if it's the pacing or whatnot. Like, I still think it's fun, but for some reason, I'm just not getting into it. And it's been the same way. I've not been able to get into Mortal Kombat games since 3. Like, I didn't even care for Ultimate Mortal Kombat when that came out for Genesis and Super Nintendo, like, way back in the day. But I don't know what it is, but it's I don't know. I don't know if it's the flow. Like, I just feel like other fighting games, like, okay, Darkstalkers, I was never that big into. But if Capcom were to say tomorrow, hey, we got a new Darkstalkers game coming out, I'd be way more excited for that.
You'd be excited, yeah.
I'd be way more excited for that than for the Mortal Kombat game that's coming out. And that's not to say, like, I'm still going to get Mortal Kombat, I'm still going to have fun with it, but I just really think that I just realized at some point, I think it was with, I don't know, like, honestly, it's like playing with people like Jason and stuff who really got into fighters way more than I did back in the day, or like with better competition that really knew what they were doing, that kind of showed me, and they, that Mortal Kombat really was pretty, pretty shallow in regards to gameplay.
You don't think that there's room in the fighting genre for that, for people to really for people to really get into that and enjoy that on a full-time basis as much as you guys play Street Fighter?
I think
that shallow, easy combat
saying though. It's not though. That's what I'm saying. It really isn't. Like at the time it was, but that's why I think people are going into this thinking, oh my god, it's so fun. You just got to do this. Like, okay, you guys had like a good time playing it when you played the demo on the stream or whatever. I guarantee you, watch some videos of any other Mortal Kombat. Even look up videos of Mortal Kombat, the demo that came out. There are combos that will jug you for like 15 hits and basically wipe you out. But the thing is, you never experience that when you're playing it. And people have this nostalgia of playing it back in the day in the arcades where there was no competitive Mortal Kombat scene. So these crazy combos weren't really widespread. People didn't really see them. So it seems like it's very simple. Like, everyone's got the same moves, like down high punch to uppercut and back and high kick to roundhouse, all this stuff, and special moves. So it seems like, you know what? I don't want to deal... Like, Street Fighter's too much work. Marvel's Capcom's too much work. Tekken's too much work. I think Mortal Kombat's just going to be just as much work when people realize that now that it's the first Mortal Kombat that's gotten a lot of attention in so many years, that people are going to be trying and figuring this stuff out. And the second they get online, it's going to be like, holy shit, this isn't really that much different than any other fighter that's out there in terms of the more time you put into it in practice, the better you're going to be at the game. It's not going to be the same casual experience that people related to back in the 16-bit era.
That's every online video game ever, Jeff. That's exactly what you just explained. Well,
yeah, but that's not my point I'm making, so I don't, what's your point?
Well,
my point is it's a series that, to me, I realized at some point I just don't like the gameplay, and I sit the same way now. I play the demo. To me, I'd prefer to play Marvel's Capcom, Street Fighter, even like a Soul Calibur or something. It just doesn't... To me, it just doesn't grasp my attention as much. Like, the gore novelty is gone. Like, I mean, this generation, everything's about... Or even last generation, gore, gore, gore. So that's not, like, a hook to me anymore. It's got to be about, like, how I feel about the gameplay. And just the gameplay doesn't grab me like it used to since 3. And I thought it was going to, but I thought I'd be playing the demo all the time. I ran through it a few times and was like, meh, okay, well, I look forward to, you know, playing it with people casually or whatever, but I'm not going to put the time I put into, like, Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. Quick side note, though, really not on topic with Mortal Kombat, what we're talking about, but have they announced, like, any of their online components? Like, are there going to be just lobbies, like, MVC, or are they going to... Them, with the release coming so close, them not even mentioning what's that does not make me feel good about what's going to be coming up their online.
Ed Boon did say he wanted to, and I'm getting this from actually from Prime Buster. He was relaying this to me in the show box, saying that he said that he wants the console experience and online to be as close to the arcade as you could get, which to me would say lobbies with spectator mode.
You have
mode.
To have spectator, yeah.
Yeah, that's like, I think spectator's a must. Like, it's very disappointing that MVC doesn't have that. But if it has that, and as lobbies, sign me up, because as much as I'm not going to put the time in to get really good at it, I'll have fun playing with like everyone like you guys and everyone on VG Evo. But it's just, I'll play it just to be like, all right, this is cool, and once the novelty runs off, I'll go on to something else or whatever. But I don't know. That's just one of those series on my list that I used to love. Like, I played the shit out of the first 3. Like, spent so much money in the arcades, and just ever since then, I've never really cared.
Looking on... on some forums, and there was also a trophy list or achievement list that got released, and there apparently is a spectator mode trophy.
Okay,
that kind
cool.
of leaked the fact that there is spectator mode. I don't know why you would get a trophy for it. Maybe doing a spectator mode match gives you a bronze or something like that. But apparently, there is a spectator mode trophy.
Good, because so Mortal Kombat vs. DC didn't have spectator mode, so that's a good thing. Sorry, another one. Phantasy Star Online.
Wow, that's a good one.
Freaking love the Dreamcast one, dude. So much. I played hundreds of hours of that thing, and I've tried to get into PSO or PS whatever, PSP, PSP2, and I can't get more than 15 minutes into either one of them or Phantasy Star Universe without turning the game off, and which kind of was disappointing because PSO was such a staple of that time, that era.
Yeah. Maybe PSO2 will get you back into it.
Maybe. I'm hoping.
It's very possible, dude. I mean, I can completely understand not wanting to get into PSU, you know? Because, yeah. I mean, they changed a lot of stuff that made PSO fun. I mean, they like, PSU, there was no loot, you know? It was all about, you know, crafting and shit like that. Nobody wanted to do that. PSO, you saw a red box and you ran for that shit.
Oh, hell yeah.
And that's part of what made it fun, you know? And they didn't really have that in the PSU universe until the portable games. And the portable games,
hell,
it's like,
the original
by that time,
Dreamcast PSO, they weren't even red. Everything was green, and you just had to hope to find a fucking rare shit. But
well,
there were
different color boxes, I think, in PSO.
And the
for rare games, yeah, I think so. I believe so. I don't remember.
I don't think there was. But
I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
You could be right. Yeah, exactly. That's like 99 or some shit. So yeah. I don't really remember.
It was quite some
time. 2000.
But yeah, I mean, I can completely understand that. You know, I don't know if you expected to get some hate from me for that or not. But
no, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. Because I mean, dude, it should be obvious because I never got into PSP 1 or 2. So.
And you bought the second one, right?
I bought the first one.
The first one. Okay.
I bought the first one.
I will say this: the second one is leagues above the first one, but still.
Really?
Yeah. And that's the funny thing. It's like the second one is leagues above the first one, but I played the first one for like hundreds of hours and I barely touched the second one. It's like, I have a character on the first one that's like level like 80 something, and my highest level character on the second one is like level 30 something.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's a big difference, especially when you consider that getting from level 1 to level 30 or 40 even is about maybe 20 hours of gameplay. Getting to level 80 is like 100 hours of gameplay. So, you know, it is a big difference.
Huh.
But yeah, I'm with you. Is that all for you?
No, I got just a couple more. Back to the fighting game, Virtual Fighter and Tekken.
Tekken is on my list, brother.
I played Tekken 1, 2, and 3.
Same here. I played a little bit of tag. I played a little bit of tag, and that was it.
I didn't play like hardly any tag at all. Yeah.
And I actually own tag for PS2, but
yeah,
I barely played it.
I just played bowling, though. I didn't play the fighting bowling.
Actually, I remember when one of my first friends got a PS3, like our friends when we first got a PS2. Yeah, we played Tekken Tag, and I was like, man, he's like, go check out this bowling mode, and we played that longer than we actually played the fighting portion.
Tekken Bowl's the shit, dude. Yeah, that shit's fleshed out, man. There's a lot of different things you can do with that game.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's good.
But yeah, Tekken was definitely on my list.
And Virtual Fighter, played a crap load of 1, 2, not so much 3, played quite a bit of 4, and then with 5, I didn't even bother with it. I just was like, meh, just don't care anymore. And that was probably way before Street Fighter 4 was out, so I think I was just kind of done with 3D fighters at that point too. Point-and-click adventure games, and I have not tried Gemini Ru yet, so I know, Travis, you've been saying that you gotta try it. Just when I've tried the demos of like Sam and Max, or the other day I jumped back into Monkey Island, I played for about like 20 minutes and was just like, I always hit hint. Give me the hint. I don't have patience for this shit anymore.
Yeah, I'm like that though too. With the console versions where you don't have a mouse to play the game with.
Yeah,
you gotta have that mouse.
That's why I think that they did it.
That could be it.
That's why I think Back to the Future did it the right way. It's like you literally can cycle through all the things you can look at.
Yeah.
With the shoulder buttons.
See, that would kind of make sense. Yeah.
It makes it a little bit more forgiving for the console centric gameplay.
I think basically when it comes to this is just my patience, really. Like with Ghost Trick, great
Jeff, why
game.
You gotta be so impatient, brother?
it's just the way, I don't know. It's modern society and media just trained me to be like this.
God, you're so emo, fucking Canadian.
I know, fuck. And you rushing us all the time, Chris.
Come on, hurry up.
He's right. Yeah.
Yeah, hurry this up. And the last other one is the NHL series by EA. I bought like every single one on like the 60-minute games and Onward, and this generation I've bought one, and not that I don't think they're bad, I think they're fucking great, but I've just not bought every year like I used to for some weird reason. I'm like, alright, it's NHL, cool, done with it.
Okay.
I'm not Canadian.
Damn you people.
What about you, Chris?
All right. So most of mine have been mentioned. You know, on my list, I've got Tekken, which we talked about. Final Fantasy, which we talked about. Zelda, which we talked about. Metroid, which we talked about. A couple that we haven't talked about yet. Resident Evil.
Oh, dude. That is a good one.
And I just could not get into any others. I owned...
After the first?
Yeah.
So it was like first
seriously,
and
after
done?
The first one. I have Part 4 for the Wii, and I keep hearing that is the best way to play it.
So you haven't played 4 even on the GameCube?
No, I have not played 4. I have not played 5. I mean, I played 5.
Oh, my God. I can understand not playing 5.
I've played some of 5, but not enough to even remotely care about it.
I could have put that on my list, too, because I love 4. I love 1, 2, and 4.
And that's the thing. I don't know why. It's like because I loved Part 1. I really did. And
Travis, you've played 4, right?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, I know it's good. I mean, everyone tells me how good it is.
It's great, dude. Yeah. Maybe it doesn't hold up now. I don't know, but
oh, I'm sure it does. I mean,
I think
PS2 games hold up pretty well, and you know, our Resident Evil 4 is pretty much on the Wii is pretty much still just the PS2 game. So
the GameCube.
Yeah, pretty much. GameCube, PS2, GameCube games. Those remake that remake of Resident Evil 1 was fantastic. It's really, really well done.
Actually, I totally forgot about that. That was on GameCube, right?
Yeah, that was beautiful. That game to this day still looks great.
And they actually changed it up too. The dog never jumped through the first window like it usually did.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the scariest moments of the game.
Exactly.
Man.
You go through the hallway and you know the dog's about to pop out, but it never does. And you go into the room, do the puzzle on your way back out of
then
the hallway.
It jumps out.
Then, oh, nice. And then it scares you.
So they kind of fuck with your head a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
Because they know. They're like, people have played this before. And if they haven't, then they're going to get scared either way. Doesn't
exactly,
matter.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to say this
That's one, and nobody else has said it. What?
And I don't know if any of you have even, if either of you have even played any of these games. Fucking Pokemon.
No.
I played.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not 12.
That's the thing. I played the very first Pokemon game that came out. I had Pokemon Red for the Game Boy.
Okay.
And yeah, I just don't get it. I played that one quite a
Apparently
bit.
Apparently, the new one's like the definitive game. It's like every single one
that comes out is the definitive game.
Oh,
Jeff.
I know.
It's like, oh, this is the
Pokemon
definitive
Snap,
game. But before
that
Ruby
fun.
And Sapphire. What's that?
Pokemon Snap looked kind of cool.
Are you serious?
I don't know. I'm just making shit up, dude. I don't know anything about Pokemon.
Yeah, I played the first Pokemon. I played probably about 10 or 15 hours of it, and I thought it was okay. You know, it was an RPG, and that's all I really cared about at the time. And
but was it really, though?
It was. Yeah, it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't it more of like a fetch quest times like 165?
I mean, it did have that you know, aspect to it, but it was, you know, it was an RPG with that collection mentality, and, you know, I thought that was pretty cool at the time, but... You know, after, you know, 10, 15 hours of playing it, I just don't get what people see in it. It's like, got to catch them all. No, I really don't.
Because you're like, out of all of us, like out of Travis, Jason, myself, and you, you're like the person who ghosts the completionist thing more than any of us.
I do.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's funny how you're like, I can't see why people are into it because the whole thing is, got to collect them all.
I know. And that's the thing. It's like, I just feel like it's a pointless moneymaker. It's the same game made over and over again. That's what it seems like to me. You know, it's the same game with like different creatures that you collect, and that's it.
Why was PSP2 better than PSP1?
They actually improved
the
gameplay.
I'm kidding. Don't actually go through it. Yeah, yeah. I know.
I could go into that if you really want me to, Jeff.
No,
I'm pretty sure
no,
you
but
don't
I'm
want.
Sure Please people don't. Who play Pokemon could do the same thing.
Okay, well,
I'm just playing Devil's Advocate. I don't care. Like, I think all Pokemon games are the same too, and I've never even played all but two of them, and that
fuck you, Jeff.
Like
stop
minutes.
Being devil advocate.
You're such a jerk. Why do you ignore you?
Go back to America's hat. So that's all I got.
Balls.
But wait, Travis, did you have any others that you wanted to add in?
That was pretty much it, man. Like Zelda and Final Fantasy and stuff like that. Yeah,
all right,
that was it for me.
Well, let's move on then. We're running kind of long now. We thought this is going to cut off short, and we're already an hour into the second half.
And now, with a list of games you'd have to be stupid not to like, here's Repeat.
I do have some new releases from Mr. Repeat.
Yes.
Here we go.
Okay, so Squeen Titus' naming department has kicked into overdrive once again to bring us Dissida 012 Duodecum Final Fantasy.
What?
I mean, they might as well just called it Androgynous Angsty Teen Fighter 2. But I did hear the first game was actually meant to be okay, so I assume this will be much the same. All right, elsewhere we have Crysis 2 for PS3 and 360, so you can shoot stuff there, I suppose. Lego Star Wars is getting a third installment, which is for practically everything. On the download front, we're getting Swarm for both PSN and Xbox Live Arcade, and this is made by Hothead Games, and it looks pretty good. Sort of a Lemmingsy vibe to it, but sort of a side-scrolling platformery bit as well. Yeah, probably worth checking out. Also on the downloads, we're getting Ghostbusters Sanctum of Slime, which
is a
sort of isometric Ghostbusters game. It's both PSN and Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's awesome.
Now, the DS is getting Monster Tail, which is the next game from the creator of Henry Hatsworth, so it's probably worth looking into.
Hmm.
This one combines platforming with some sort of pet-raising thing. So, yeah, could be interesting. And finally, on Sunday, the 3DS is being released, which means it's coming with a raft of launch titles, most of which look incredibly terrible, but there are some which do look reasonable and might be worth checking out, depending on your gaming proclivities. So those would be Parlowings Resort, and Steel Diver looks pretty interesting for a submarine sort of simulation-y game. Capcom's obviously bringing Super Street Fighter 4 3D out, although I don't know how the hell you meant to play it with those frickin' like buttons and stuff and not with a stick. Koei is bringing Samurai Warriors Chronicles, so it's basically a Dynasty Warriors game. I know some people like them. And finally, Ubisoft has got Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Shadow War. Which might be, people might think it's odd that I mentioned that one, but it is a tactical turn-based strategy game made by the creator of XCOM. So a lot of heritage for that one there, and it looks pretty fantastic if you're into that sort of strategy game. So yeah, that'll pretty much do it.
All right. Let's do some
gaps. I want to clear up one quick thing from last week. Is Review was totally right. The official release date for Okamiden was the 15th, but it wasn't hard street dated. So if your stores got it in the week before, you could have bought it. Just saying.
Thank you, Jay.
No problem. Just want to give my props to Repeat. He was on the money. I tried to call him out.
All right, let's do some gap filling. Tomb Raider Trilogy is coming next week.
For what?
PS3, sorry.
So is it like HD?
I believe so. Let me double check. It's a Tomb Raider...
Downloadable disc?
Why can I not see a larger picture of this? Thanks a lot. I don't think it's like any of the older school, like it's not any of the PS1 ones.
Oh, it's all
like,
the ones that came
it's
out
like
this
Underground
channel.
And those. Okay. So that's coming out next week. PlayStation Move Heroes, which is the PlayStation Move game that has like all of the
Heroes
Jack
on the
and
Move.
Crank,
yeah, Heroes on the Move. It's got all
Dexter
those guys in it.
And stuff.
Mayhem 3D is also coming out for PS3. PSP is getting Jocandia, the Timeless Land, which I don't know. Yeah, nobody cares. some Naruto game, which also nobody cares, and we're going to move on. 360 is getting Mayhem 3D, and that's about it to add to what Repeat already said. The Wii is getting nothing interesting, and the DS is also getting nothing interesting. So there you have it. That is your new release list. Pick of the week.
I can't believe some of those 3DS games are coming out next week, and the 3DS isn't even out yet.
No, 3DS comes out Sunday.
Yeah.
Remember, this is going to release Monday. The following Sunday, the 3DS comes out. While we're
so
Wisconsin.
That's what he was releasing. That's what he was talking about. Okay. Yeah. So that's when those games come out, the Sunday?
Yeah.
Pick of the week for not getting 3DS, Crysis 2. That game is just fucking awesome.
Yeah, me too. Crysis 2.
I want to be different, but I don't see anything interesting.
If you're getting a 3DS, I would say Pilot Wings Resort. Looks cool.
Heroes on the Move.
Heroes on the Move.
What the fuck? Who cares? Heroes on the Move. That's my pick of the week.
Sure, just throw that shit out.
Yeah, just throw it against the wall, see if it sticks.
I need to be different.
If there happens to be a 3DS while we're out in Milwaukee, like a 3DS is laying around.
Someone will have one on the Sunday for sure. Dude, What's It Called came out a year ago, 2 years ago, the DS XL. Came out. I can't remember if it was that Sunday or the Sunday before, and I remember Mark had one. So there will be someone who has a DS around that MGC. So anyway, what were you saying? If somebody has one?
Well, I'm just saying, not if someone has one. I'm sure we'll be able to at least get eyes on and see someone play it. But I gotta say, if we like go to a random store and it's there for sale and in stock,
you'll
it's gonna be
one.
So hard not to buy one.
Well, I'll make sure you think about it for at least 10 seconds.
Right.
We'll smack you upside the head a couple times before you buy it. And then when you buy it, we'll steal it.
I'm the worst person to bring to a store like that when they have something in stock. You might as well.
Travis, I've got the willpower, buddy. I'll do the best I can. That's all I can say.
Okay. Well, good looking. Good looking.
All right. Let's do some emails, baby.
Yeah.
What you got, Trav?
Sure. I got one. Confidence Man 2. Coming back old school with them. Indus Stats.
Hell yeah. I love Indus Stats, man.
All right, so here we go. It says, hello, Indus Con Man 2 here. I'm here to deliver your next set of Indus Stats. This is for episodes, wait for it, 147 to 152.
Oh, my God.
A.K.A. this is the lead up to Indus Fest.
Okay.
All right, so the number of times
Indus Fest is mentioned, 489.
I'm sure we'll get there.
Okay.
The number of times Chris mentions Fantasy Star or Castlevania, 32.
I'm not surprised. Okay. There were two Castlevanias released.
How many episodes is this? Sorry, you said 140.
147. 152. 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. Five episodes,
okay.
Number of times Travis mentions a Call of Duty or Madden game, 12.
That's not bad.
The number of times Jeff mentions God of War or Halo, 16.
I win.
Or lose.
Or lose.
Or lose. Number of emails read on the show, 30. Mm-hmm. Number of voicemails played on the show, 23.
Good God. Wow. Really?
That's pretty
close.
That's
a lot of voicemails, man.
Yeah. The number of random questions asked by Ace is High, 10. The Ooh. Number of random questions asked for Ace is High, 10.
What?
What?
Oh, was...
people ask questions to Aces, I guess.
Yeah, well, he was
on... Was that the episode that he was on?
Yeah, I was going to say, it must have been one of the episodes he was on where a bunch
of
people liked it.
Oh, yeah, we did have him on. We had him on the week before Indusfest, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Cool. Okay, I didn't realize he got that many random questions asked to him.
No shit,
man. Wow. Okay, number of times Travis has... Hey, 4.
The number of times Chris says nice.
Nice. 4.
Oh, that's it?
Oh, that's it?
I was on an off
the number. Yeah. The number of times Travis says buddy. 12.
Buddy. I love this motherfucker, man.
The number of times anyone says here's police sirens or anything that refers to Jeff being Canadian. 24.
Oh, God. In 5 episodes, 24 times. We average five Canadian jokes an episode.
There hasn't been one yet today, so let's...
Yes, there is, because I said something about America's hat.
Oh, that's right.
The number of times anyone mentions fuck you, truth, or anything that refers to a Jason A. Stryker catchphrase, 10.
Huh.
The number of playful jabs at other podcasts, 8.
Okay, the number of times...
Yeah, the number of times someone says Indusfest or the Deuce, 55.
That's it?
Oh, wow. Well, of course, yeah.
The number of times Travis says, here's the deal, 5.
You know what fucking cracks me up is there's got to be some point where he's listening to these and being like, okay, he said that like a bunch of times. Now I have to go back
and count.
Exactly.
It's like, I'd hate to see that shit. Like, he's like, all right, I'm going to do these 5 episodes. He gets like to the third one. He's like, fuck, yeah. I got to go back and do
Mad
it all again.
Mad respect, fucking. This is, oh, this man. Is crazy.
All right, continue.
All right. The number of times Travis gets shortchanged.
No, wait. I didn't hear the number of the last one.
Oh, that was 5. Here's the deals.
Oh, okay.
No, that's not that many, actually.
Yeah. The number of times Travis gets shortchanged, a.k.a. the number of short jokes directed at Travis, 5.
That's not that bad. One per episode.
One per episode.
He obviously didn't listen to the Innisfest one.
Yeah. Guess poured it on that episode. The number of times Valkyria Chronicles is mentioned, 5.
Oh my God. That's it? All right.
That's not bad.
That's cool.
The number of times Super Meat Boy is mentioned, 13.
Okay.
Hmm.
And then finally, the contents of the Indus bar, water and coffee for extra life, but not from that fucking Chevron across the street from Battle and Brew. no other drinks were mentioned during episode 147 to 152.
Oh, wow.
All right. Choice quotes. These are always my favorite. And he even time stamped them for maybe a future episode 0 that someone else will want to do if they want to do it.
Cool. Nice. episode 0.5.
All right. Episode 147. And this is me and then Jason. So I say, my personal say to you is, by the game, I will clear my schedule. And Jason says, I'm with you. I'm in on that as well. I will put down the Street Fighter. We're just doing this for like one night, right? And we're talking about Halo Reach.
Oh, that's funny. Good stuff.
All right. And this is after Travis says he likes Call of Duty more than Halo Reach. Chris, hey, Travis, I see Bobby Kotick's nuts in your chin, dude. Jason, that's not his nuts. That's his ass.
I don't even remember that. That's awesome.
Okay, Jeff talking about NBA 2K11 while a cop car rolls by his house. You're not going to have to invest time into it or else the cops are going to come.
Oh, shit.
I don't remember that at all.
I have tears, man. I really do. I have tears now.
I don't remember that.
Oh, fuck.
I don't remember any of these, actually.
And, of course, I get called out for being a racist during Fallout New Vegas talk. Wayne Newton replaced, what's-his-face, 3Dog? Thank God I couldn't stand that guy. He started grating on me, but Wayne Newton is great. Wayne Newton is fantastic. Okay, there it is. There's the show title. Wayne Newton is fantastic. Oh, God. And finally, the last, the final choice quote is from Jeff. All right, let's all make fun of the Canadians' balls now. Woohoo!
What? Don't remember
That's
that
it. One. Let's all make fun of the Canadians' balls.
Travis, Kotick's nutsack is on your chin.
No, that's his ass. And he says, if you've been wondering when I'll post these stats for IndusFest, don't fret, since those will be up soon, and I'm planning something special for it. Uh-oh. Later, everybody. Con Man 2.
Whew. Thank you, Confidence.
Thanks, Confidence,
man. That's awesome.
Wow.
We appreciate
someone actually requested like listener stats, and I still need to get those together. I'm going to try and do that soon. But all right. You have any other emails, or is that it for today?
That's it. If you have any VMs, pop them on us.
I got one. I actually have more than one. I got a couple in the backlog, but I think I'm going to hold on to them because we're running long on time. So.
Yeah, and we have to hit Indus questions. We have to make it two in a row.
All right, yes. let's do this one right here.
It's time for another edition of Random Questions from Aces Hoffman. Yeah.
Hey guys, what's up? I'm on spring break right now, so guess what? I just want to know if you have any crazy spring break stories. Later.
No. I don't. Sorry. I'm boring, as far as that's
concerned. I don't have anything crazy. As me and my buddy went down to Cancun in spring break once, and we were both 18, I think, or 19. And this is before like we saw like what Cancun is like during spring break, because we were just, I think we're still in, I guess it would be in high school. So not quite the college crazy Cancun you see. And I just remember going there having a fucking awesome time. And the only reason we realized that Cancun was crazy was because we went to this one place called Senior Frogs, like for dinner.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So me, him, and a couple other dudes we met at the resort, plus like four girls we met at the resort. We went there for dinner, had some drinks, whatever. Mind you, this is also the first time I've ever been really drunk, basically. And then we left there to go back to the resort to just hang out by the pool, get some drinks there and hang out. And then we got back and we realized, holy shit, we're missing two people. So we went back to Senior Frogs, and the place was rammed with like college like people everywhere, like girls like flashing, like just like taking their shirts off. Like we're like, this is fucking awesome. This is insane. But at the time, looking back, I was like, I should have taken way more advantage of that situation. When at this point, we're like, we have to find these people, or else we're gonna get in shit.
Should have taken way more pictures.
Yeah, for real. Well, we have pictures. Yeah. This way before digital age, though. So. I have to scan that shit, and that just takes too long. But no, nothing too crazy on spring break, really.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Destin, Florida a couple times on spring break, but that was about it. Beautiful beaches there.
Beautiful. Gorgeous. Yeah, nice. I got nothing. I mean, we always kept it low-key. Good. I don't know. Never did, like, the Panama City like spring break thing. Yeah, yeah, never.
When it came to spring break,
because they're always like so packed and everything's so expensive and it's too many people. Like, I've never had no interest in that.
Yeah. So. People may or may not know this about me, but, you know, I actually lived at home until I finished college. And my mom it was just me and my mom. And, you know, most of the time in spring break, I was working extra hours to help her pay the bills. You know, so that's kind of what I did on spring break. That's what I had to do. You know, I did what
that's
I had to.
What's wrong with that, dude?
Yeah. So, so let's, I would say let's do some question of the week, but next week's MGC. So, yeah. What are we going to do here? I mean, we're just going to talk about MGC, right? We're going to talk about how cool it is to actually be sitting in the same room doing a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess if you guys want to send in some emails just for
cramped
us to read
up
on.
In a hotel room with a microphone.
Yeah, pretty much.
Doing our shit.
We'll all be sitting on the same bed. It'll be sexy.
Yeah, we'll have a good time. Actually, I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a blast. Nice. Yeah,
yeah, we're going to have a good time at MGC. I'm looking forward to it very much, especially since I missed the last 2 years. And, you know, we're gonna try and record a cast while we're up there. It'll be a short one. We'll be talking about, you know, what games we've been playing and what we're planning to do on MGC, things we might be looking for. And, you know, if you guys send in emails, we'll read the emails and we'll do it that way. So, If you have any stuff you want to send us, send it to email at interactivedistractions.com. We will probably be able to do voicemails there too, so send those in. It's 706-760-4337.
It's likely, but it's not.
Long distance charges apply. check us out on Twitter. Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
That's G-E-O-F-F.
And
Geoff!
Facebook, Interactive Distractions Podcast. And that is it for
And Indus Questions at Indus Questions on Twitter, which we're still going to hit right now.
Okay.
Do it.
Do it to it, man.
Don't worry. There's nothing that's going to take us forever. So I totally lost my shit. Here we go.
Brittany
Alrighty.
Asks.
Yeah.
Jack Bauer. He says, in-ear or over-the-ear headphones?
Oh, in-ear. Easy, in-ear. The hard plastic goes like around your ear, like, I cannot not feel that.
What about like
around
cans? What about like the
Oh, I like cans. Ass. Yeah. Like
cans are the over the ear. That's kind of the way I feel about them. I was thinking
of those sports ones that go around, like the plastic goes around the back of your ear.
Yeah, like wrap around your shit.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I'd go with like the earbuds for sure. Yeah. Also, because I have a phobia of like even though I want to be totally immersed. Like wearing those things, I kind of want to hear shit that's going on outside too, or like around me, so I don't get hit by a bus or something.
Yeah, the ones that I'm wearing like right now, they're just the kind that you just place on your ear and that's it.
Yeah,
I don't like the ones that like are that I don't like the cans because they actually annoy my ears to an extent, and okay. The earbuds, they never seem to stay in for me. It's like.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, it's weird. It's so I just I've got a pair of. Like little fold up ones that just go over my and just like sit right on my ear and that works for me. So.
Yeah, and sometimes right. they'll like wedge in your ear and they'll like stretch your ear meat out a little bit like it.
Ear meat.
Yeah.
All right, Batman or Superman?
Batman. Fuck Superman. Nice. He's God mode.
Batman. And we all know Jason's gonna be Batman as well. And this is funny because this totally goes back to a conversation we had earlier. This is totally coincidence, but under boob or side boob?
Oh, Jesus.
Total under boob.
I saw that. Like, we have to do it. This is Jack Bauer. This is why I'm like, we have to read these questions because.
Totally under boob.
That was under boob.
Under boob
sure.
All the way.
Under boob. Under boob. Yeah.
100%.
Jeff BTW says, do you guys care about or even notice the rumble function in controllers?
There's rumble function?
Dirty answer is not allowed, he says.
I didn't know controllers still rumbled. Do they still do that?
Yeah,
so Chris says no.
Yeah, I don't really realize it most of the time.
I like the rumble. Actually, you know what? Maybe I don't, because I like the rumble, but I don't really notice when it's not there, if that makes any sense. So
that's the thing. It's a situation really. Where you're so enthralled with what's going on the screen, you really don't care what the controller's doing. So
yeah. He has a follow-up question with favorite cereal, but we did answer this a while ago, so sorry, Jeff, BTW, we won't go back there.
Reese's Puffs.
Alfighter says, gross thing Jeff has done on camera. I can't think that long, and we want to get this over with. I will think about that and get back to you, I swear. Video camera, not too much. Camera, there's definitely a lot of things.
Dude, Jeff has a picture of him humping everything.
Yeah,
Jack Bauer has proof of that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Podcast
yeah.
Weekly. Every single one, yeah. He's got a different picture of Jeff humping something.
The Podcast Weekly, man, I don't know where they get their material. But those photos, man, that's some deep cuts that they get. I don't know where they get them from.
Smack Chop G says, what is the most ridiculous movie you've seen?
Ooh.
The most ridiculous movie I've seen.
Dragon Wars.
I've heard of that. I haven't seen it, though.
I watched like the first 10 minutes of that movie and shut it off.
Dude, is it that bad? I heard it was actually kind of good entertaining.
No, there's some fucking random shit that is happening. Okay, there's an old man in this movie that pops up like randomly just punching people. He has
what?
I'm serious. Like,
I'm sorry. But it reminds me. All of a sudden, I have this picture in my head about someone coming out and punching someone and going toasty.
It's weird, dude. Like, it's that movie. Like, you just want to see a whole bunch of dragons fight each other.
Yeah.
But no, you got to get the stupid shit in between it, and it is just out of this world wack. And then like Enter the Fist, Kung Pao, Enter the Fist. Like, I want to like that movie so much, but I think it's too much. Like, too much ridiculousness.
It's a little bit too much ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just too much. But
Dragon Ball
like
Evolution.
It. Oh, that's just ridiculous. Bad.
It
dog.
Is bad. But for some reason, when it comes to that movie, for some reason, there's like a scene in the beginning of that movie where, you know, the dude that plays Goku, like, goes to this party, and, you know, the guy's trying to kick him out, and he's like, no, I'm not leaving. And they try and fight him, and he goes, no, I'm not going to fight. And they all try and kick his ass, and all he does is dodge everyone, and he beats the shit out of everybody without ever throwing a punch. And I just love seeing shit like that. I don't know why, but it entertains me.
Kung Pao is probably the one that I've most released I've seen, which is ridiculously awesome.
That is very ridiculously awesome.
Yeah, it's so good. So good in a bad way. Yeah. Have you ever tripped over your own foot?
Yeah,
totally.
I'm a clown.
Playing it off is how you do it. Like you can play it off really bad and it's embarrassing. Because it's not the stumbling. It's how you recuperate. How
yeah, as long as you like do a cartwheel and end up on your feet, you're in good shape.
It's a save. Exactly.
Well, it's how quick you can get your swagger step back. Like in
your swagger step.
That's the key. You gotta get that swag. So
anyway, man. I hear that.
I'm thinking about like how definite it is that my son is going to be a complete klutz. Between me and Crystal,
really?
He's going to be a
complete
klutz.
Oh, you think he's
going to
be like tripping all over himself and shit?
Crystal's worse than I am, but yeah. I have a feeling he's going to be a klutz.
Well, hey, have you ever been pantsed in public?
No.
Yeah.
No, I have not.
What is pants?
Is when someone
drops
down,
your pants
drops your
in
pants.
Public.
Yeah. Oh. Someone comes up behind you and like rips your pants down.
In eighth grade,
because I have
yes.
a pretty,
I have been pantsed once in eighth grade. Yes,
in eighth, but it wasn't a public. Okay,
it was grade, in a classroom fuck. In eighth grade. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's pretty funny.
That's gonna be my thing at MGC this year. I'm just gonna pants everybody.
Dude, I'm gonna make sure I wear my belt really tight. Man.
We should totally do that. That'd be hilarious. We have to have video camera. We'll get Nico to have like a video camera following us.
We can have
Travis,
we can have
ready.
Signs that say you've
Go!
Just been indist.
Just I didn't get. I've never been pantsed in public before, but when I worked at a restaurant, all the cooks, like I was a cook, we always used to pants each other because we used to wear those like those chef pants that are like checkered. They're ridiculous, whatever.
Yeah,
so,
they're tie offs. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So one day it was like fucking. It was so cold outside. So I'm like, I had like other pants underneath them, and a guy went. I was like, you know, going around the side to like do some dishes or whatever, and. The waiting staff came in to, like, you know, they're cleaning up. It was, like, after, like, the big rush happened. So the dude I worked with came up behind me and went to yank my pants down. But I wasn't wearing – I was wearing, like, basically long underwear and not, like, regular, like, boxers or whatever, he had both totally buck naked from the waist down sitting there. And I was like, you fucking motherfucker. And he just started, he was like, oh my god. And he just fucking like left. Like he's like, I didn't mean that thing.
Oh
like,
my god, it's so tiny.
Yeah, he's like, look at the size of that thing. Oh my god. I'm like, it's cold out. It's way too long, John.
At least I had whitey tighties on, man. Jeez.
But man, that was I don't care if people panned on the box. You got me. Hey, yeah. But that time I was like, it caught me by surprise, and it didn't hit me till like a second later when I was like, oh my god, I can feel it. Oh my god, he ripped down everything. That is crazy.
Hey, look, my penis is hanging out.
Yeah. His thing was when he did it, he's like, I pull it down, and he's like, the first thing I see is your ass in my face, and I had to fucking run away. So he's like, he's behind, right? Going to rip him down, and yeah. That's what happens when you, yeah.
Oh,
watch the movie Waiting. You'll understand if you never worked in the food industry. But yeah, that's it. That's it for the end of questions.
Cool. All right, let's do some. Let's talk about a couple things real quick before we go out. Before we get out of here,
we'll get some news.
First thing is, MGC is next week. So if you guys have any questions about, you know, that kind of thing, or if you are, if you're wondering what we're gonna get at MGC or what we're gonna try and get at MGC, drop us an email. That's what I said earlier. going on from that, the week after that. We're going to be doing our contest entries for Jim Henson versus Konami.
Yeah.
We got a couple more emails this week, but you guys really need to step it up, man. We need more. We got like maybe half a dozen emails. So you guys, if you send it in, you got a good chance of some winning. So get those emails in. And last thing I'm going to say, live show.
What?
We're doing a live show. I'm tired of not doing live shows. I really want to do one.
We have to do one.
We got to do one
for sure. I mean,
you know, we started the trend. We need to do another one. So current plan is to attempt to do our live show on episode 175. We're not sure if that's going to work out 100%, but you can expect it in the next 4 to 6 episodes. We will definitely give you a final date, probably next week at the MGC. On the MGC episode, we're going to figure out our timing, but just know that it's coming. It is coming.
It's coming,
and it's going to be a good time. So
hopefully, our first and only one, really, besides IndusFest, was how many years ago?
If you don't count IndusFest, the only live show we've ever done was our 1 year anniversary sale.
Oh my god!
So that was episode 52. Yep. That was 100. That was 120 episodes ago.
That first episode I ever listened to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your life has never been the same.
No.
Don't you wish you didn't? Don't you wish you didn't listen? So that's all I've got. Do you guys have anything else before we wrap up and get out of here?
I'm good.
Think so.
I'm good too. So thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us, and make sure to leave us a review on iTunes or Zune Marketplace. We would appreciate
five
that
stars.
As well. So until next week at MGC, my name is Chris.
Oh, I'm Travis.
I'm Jeff.
Play your games. Talk to you next week.